Hello, I'm George Takei, and mischievous pisser possums are not welcomed in these parts. You're listening to Pastor Lindstedt's The Movement Turd.
Pastor Lindstedt, Aryan man, with an Armageddon plan. Derailed Dogs Railroad train. Wants to kill all the Jews and a lot of Uyghurs too. He has a psycho Aryan non-Uyghur brain. Martin had a wife he loved all his life. Four grandkids, they are so brave. Destroying Zog caught his eye, and chasing all Zog's lie, and putting Zog Babylon in its grave. It was on a weekday night, when Jews lie that they's right, he pissed on damn kite claims. And the Uyghurs zap with a shout, them stupid fucking louts, that Pope Marty done hits at what he aims. Martin had a wife he loved all his life. Four grandkids, they are so brave. Destroying Zog caught his eye, and finished off Zog lies, and putting Zog Babylon in his grave. It was on any weekday night when the pastor is at home talking to Christ's family tree. When along come dirty Jew and a Zogling Uyghur or two, making they's ass whooping necessary. Martin had a wife he loved all his life. Four grandkids, they are so brave. Destroying Zog caught his eye, and chasing off Zog lies, and putting Zog Babylon in his grave. Well, the ass clouds hold their breath when they hear a pastor's step. They wonder why he don't fucking lie. It was dirty pisser possum and all of Satan's mamsers that want to take him down on the sly. Martin had a wife he loved all his life. Four grandkids, they are so brave. Destroying Zog caught his eye, and finished off Zog lies, and putting Zog Babylon in his grave.
Zogling, Uyghur, and Mamzer ass clouds across the fruit and nutted Zog plain in the open air coast nut house we call Zog Babylon, the third and the final. But this show, as always, is aimed at the lost and the found sheep of the house of Israel. You chose the seed of Israel's race, ye who did hear Christ's call. Greetings. This is episode number 150.5 of the Movement Turd. Tonight is the 28th of November, 2012. This is Pastor Martin Luther Drzezinski Lindstedt speaking. And, heck, it's, well, probably a little bit early for me. It's about 3:42 Granby Central, unstandard more or less time. And tonight's show is called Making Neo-Dixie Dreams a Reality. Now, I went ahead and invited Hunter Wallace to go ahead and call in, but he may not hear. pretty well over on Linda's Tard Corral. You have a bunch of ass clowns. They're going ahead, shitting on Hunter, and shitting on me, too, here, whining like a pussy. And I think guest number six is Oba Gender Bender, Pisser Pister Possum. And, folks, I mean, usually I pretty well let things go along in the chat room, but pretty much what, we had guest number five wanting to reveal someone's private information, and guest number six is a Pisser Possum. Now, generally, in real life, creatures like that would be essentially not around to go ahead and give trouble to anyone. I mean, folks, this was born evil. Oba Genderbender, born evil. Jeremy, you know, let's see, Eli James, an evil Jew. Dan Johns, a delusional evil Jew. You have these creatures, and really, for all practical purposes, they shouldn't exist. They should be exterminated. But generally, I'd pretty well let this thing go here, but what you end up having is that you have these cowardly creatures coming in, and all they want to do is call me Marty Chomo, Marty Chomo, Marty Chomo. And essentially, if that's all you got to say, you can go ahead and leave. You don't really need to be here. I mean, you're essentially living because I don't have the means right now to detect you and essentially do away with you evil sub-animals. So, in any case here, I could, you know, I mean, I do get irked by being called a child molester, but shoot, after what happened to me, I don't get all bent out of shape here. Generally, the cure to have that, and you have Oba Genderbender whining and pissing and moaning that evil creatures will get short shift if someone like me comes to power. Of course they will. Don't have time and effort or interest in allowing anonymous criminals and mamzers and melungeons and Jews to run wild. I mean, the first time they show their snout, they should be done away with. I mean, you got to understand, Dual Seed Line Christian Identity says that certain creatures are born evil. They're the spawn of Satan. And then you end up having the spawn of Satan go in and think they get a pass by saying, Jew, 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 nigger, 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 nigger. Well, they don't. They don't. At all. So, essentially, I have better things to do than put up with such nonsense. I don't mind criticism. You learn more from criticism. But in the case of Hunter Wallace, I understand that I ended up talking far more. And I should have gone ahead and asked questions and listened here, and I know I'm bad about that. But in many cases, what happened on Sunday's show were friends going ahead and essentially pretty well filling in the background. I don't think Hunter has listened to too many of my shows other than ones than when I went ahead and took on the roid rage retard Jim Charles. But anyway, the biggest news this past week in the movement. There hasn't been too much news. Folks, you get to a flood tide of silliness, of idiocy, all the time. And what last week, you know, the week or so after was secession. And folks, this tide is a new normal. This flood tide about secession and the fiscal cliff and all the other stuff to where if Congress doesn't meet, there's going to be a $2,000 increased tax on middle class wiggers. And the answer is there might be, there might not be, but that doesn't mean they're going to be able to pay it. That doesn't mean they're going to go ahead and file. That doesn't mean that any of this shit's going to go ahead and continue to happen at all. At all. So, folks, you don't, you know, you have all the stupid crap going ahead and bringing people around the circle. But what you have, at least this time, is that the new normal is talk about secession. Now, folks, Jim Giles, the roid rage retard, he went ahead, I think yesterday, went ahead and said, no, 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 we're not going to have a debate because, well, essentially, I don't want a debate. And Linda just said, well, no big deal. No big deal. And then, You know, then what happens? Roid Rage Retard said, yes, he was going. The debate was on. And that's a problem with someone like Jim Giles. I mean, heck, you can't rely on him. You can't trust him. You can't believe he's going to do what he says he's going to do. Just as you can't believe liars like Jeremy Visser or Eli James or the rest here, they're trying to go ahead and fool you. They can't afford to tell you the truth. Don't want to tell you the truth. If they're like Visser, so far, you know, so far just gone in Manserdom. Let's just go ahead and lie. I was listening to Visser whine. Marty Chomo. Oh, I've been slandered. Whine. Look, Visser, I mean, you're a Manser. You're a Melungeon. Anybody looking at you can go ahead and tell that you're not white. And I don't know, I heard something about how Bridget the Idiot was reduced to shoplifting food because the worthless bastard doesn't have a job and doesn't intend to have a job and isn't able to feed her and the pisser possums or uses it to buy dope or what have you. And, heck, it's stuff like that which will go ahead and bring Bridget the Idiot back to her hybrid nigger mama in Washington State along with the little pisser possums and leave Jeremy behind in, what, Griffin, Georgia or Brooks, Georgia. See, this worthless bastard can't even tell the truth about where it lives. Yeah, I live in Brooks. Well, okay, well, maybe you do, maybe you don't. I've heard a different address. And it's not in where you claim it is. I mean, anybody listening to this is listening to liars. Anybody listening to Obi Genderbender is listening to an anonymous Jew Mamzer, you know, faggot, with gender identity issues. Perhaps, you know, transsexuals. I mean, why do you bother listening to it? But I am going to go ahead and get back. I am going to go ahead and get back on track. What the track is that Hunter Wallace went ahead and if you go ahead and check today's post here, Hunter Wallace had a post called, let me go ahead and look at it. The post is called what here? It's called Hunter's Vision, Goals, Strategy, Tactics here. He says vision was he's an ethno-nationalist. Essentially, he has a dream of a Neo-Dixie. Now, you know, pretty well comprising the original 11 states and, the 11 states and Kentucky and Missouri, which were the other two. And then maybe going on to New Mexico and, not only Texas, but New Mexico and parts of Arizona. And he's going to go ahead and go along with these other people called the Greater Appalachia, which essentially is West Virginia, across to Ohio, South Indiana, South Illinois, Southern Missouri, the Ozarks, into Oklahoma, into Texas, East Texas. Okay? And then he's going ahead and looking at a number of things. And essentially, he's saying that Dixie is a real nation. It exists as an independent nation because the Confederate States of America has all the ingredients of an independent nation, a common ethnicity, common culture, a common ideological outlook, and a common history. And he's going ahead and looking at, essentially Hunter's saying that he's a Southern nationalist as opposed to a white nationalist. Well, folks, I think the reason he's a Southern nationalist is he's had enough of essentially white nationalism as defined by Linder. Folks, that's the mistake that people make is Linder is a white nationalist. No, Linder is a Jew boy running a tard corral for Zog and a data mining operation pretending that it's a white nationalist. It's not. I go ahead and look at the tards on there, and essentially I see a bunch of pinched-nosed Mamzers and Jews, and, I seen one who used to be one of Covington's tards and then decided that he wasn't getting stroked enough, so he went over and became one of Linder's tards, this Jimmy Marr. used to be one of Covington's stars. He wasn't getting enough attention because Covington was actually doing something. Whereas Linder, hey, I get to run wild on a tardy corral. These people are not white nationalists. These people are just wiggers playing a game. Now, in any case, I'm looking at this thing here. Now, these, I call them Bama boys. I used to get along pretty good when I was in the Army with these boys from Alabama. They used to play Sweet Home Alabama, and I called them the Bama boys. And essentially, they've wanted a rematch since 1865 against fighting Zog. They still haven't learned that they can't fight Zog. And I was talking to Pastor John Britton the other day, and we pretty well, I went ahead yesterday and today. There's a free book called Enoch Primeval, or something like that, on Kindle. Go ahead and type it in, and you can download it for free. And the actual fiction sort of reads like Stephen J. Cannell and the A-Team or something like that. They're all buddies, and they're all fighting together, and in Noah Primeval or something like that. I forget which it is. He's going to go ahead and have a book about essentially the sons of true man versus the Nephilim, the giants, and the demon spawn. And in great detail, they go into the point here. And Pastor John Britton had pretty well told me is that you got to understand it wasn't just Satan going ahead and screwing Eve. You had 200 watchers who were all doing that sort of thing. And perhaps Adam had sex with Lilith, who is not Satan's daughter, but Satan's granddaughter. And I asked Pastor John Britton, does that mean that essentially these spiritual beings known as angels have different sexes and engage in sexual intercourse and thus go ahead and breed little angels, female angels, male and female angels? And Pastor John Britton said, well, I've heard this, but I don't really like going ahead and getting into it. And the reason of it is that you are essentially relying on a bunch of Jew traditions from the Kabbalah, and essentially they've taken, you know, just like the Book of Jasher, they've gone ahead and taken actual books and perverted them. Now, does that mean that there are or are not angels who went ahead and produced other angels? And the answer is that there might very well be. To me, it looks like a rather moot point, and since it wasn't really, as far as I can tell, covered by Bertrand Comperet, I'm not really going to go ahead and get into it. But this Brian Godwa, B-R-I-A-N-G-O-D-W-A, the book was okay as far as fiction is concerned here, but I wouldn't, you know, take it for real, but he had some really kick-ass appendixes for Noah. And, you know, for Noah Primeval and Enoch Primordial, and see, prequel to Noah. And, folks, I got both of them books for free. Now, when I went ahead and seen it on the free list, I went ahead, I was actually borrowing that particular book, so I went ahead and checked it in and checked out another book, and then went ahead and downloaded the free book. So, yesterday it was free, today it's free. I don't know. Usually they have, when you go ahead and get it published by Kindle Select or whatever, you have 5 days per 90 days when you give away the book for free. And I don't know if it's, you know, it's the first one or something like that. They've come up with a new one called Gilgamesh, whatever. I don't want to pay $5.99 for it. I'll be watching it to go ahead and see when it comes for free. And essentially, it's going to end up being, what, 6 books or so. Folks, for those of you who are interested in Christian identity or just a, you know, just an interesting read, you know, about these apocryphal books, go ahead and download free Kindle. Go ahead and get an Amazon account. If you don't have a Kindle, you can go ahead and download a Kindle for your computer. Go ahead and give them an email address, and then give them a password, and set up an Amazon account, and get a free downloaded book, and it's free to you, you know, forever. And the reason I want people to go ahead and download it is that I'm allowed to go ahead and give a book, lend a book once, you know, but I don't want to go ahead and lend it out just yet here. So essentially, we can go ahead and loan it out here. But anyway, getting back to it here, what happens is that Linder was whining. He was calling me a child molester for a while, and then he figured out is that if he's going to whine like a pussy about what a big liar I am, he can't be seen being a big liar himself. So essentially he's calling me malicious Marty and pretty well whining about how dare Hunter believe or be a friend of malicious Marty. Whine. Okay, fine. Who cares? Who really cares what Linder wants? I mean, I love seeing that gut-sick Guido Kikenweasel Jew Afghaze here whine like a pussy. It goes ahead and tells me that I'm on the right track. It really does. But essentially, he's going ahead and he's letting his tards jump on Hunter. You had Mike the Kike Cohan Connor, formerly a voice of retards, whining about Hunter Wallace and how he used to run his forum. Now, back in the day, I don't think Hunter ran his V-Bulletin forum very well, but he didn't ban anybody. He went ahead and had a bunch of little Jew and Mamzer and Wigger retards, and he would go ahead and get hacked or whatever. His forum would go down. And essentially what happens, these tards went ahead and bought their own V-Bulletin forum software. They went ahead and made a domain name called thefora.net, you know, from Hunter Wallace's thefora.com. They went ahead and pretended to be Hunter's friend. They yanked the database, and then they went ahead and put up their own forum using their own database on their new fora.net, the fora.net. And then they went ahead and banned Fade. They went ahead and banned, you know, Fade Hunter. They went ahead and banned, oh, his little screwed up, you know, part Jew buddy. They went ahead and screwed up a number of people and pretty well justified doing whatever the hell they wanted to do. Now, folks, I don't fault them. I do not fault them for essentially taking care of their own posts by going ahead and getting a copy of the database and pretty well making sure they had their own work protected. I don't really blame them for doing that at all. I mean, heck, who knows? Maybe if Hunter had been running the forum, he'd have gone ahead and took it down another 10 or 12 times instead of just 2 or 3 or 4. But folks, on the other hand, you know, if you're going to go ahead and do what needs to be done, don't bother to lie about it. Don't bother to lie about it. Hunter's always been, you know, he's been a poor little rich boy, but he's always been of a higher morality and somewhat of a good deal of naivete against these ass clowns, some of them who are Jews, who go ahead and, just like Jews do, take advantage of white naivete, thinking that Jews are human beings, that Jews are good, that Jews are anything other than spawn Satan. And then allowing them, like Linder, Alex Linder, or, you know, Eli James, or Finkelschini, or Brian Reel, to go ahead and scream about Jews and Mamzers when they be Jews and Mamzers. But anyway, you had Red Rage Retard. He went ahead yesterday, or, you know, the day before yesterday, canceled the debate. And then, like a retard, he went ahead and put it back on. And you gotta understand is that Jim Giles, for all his verbal ability, Jim Giles has the mind of about maybe at best a 12-year-old. He's not able to go ahead and think things through. He's just simply, I don't think he likes me. And he wants to go ahead and become in the movement. and you end up having, you know, in the case of the Stew Boy, Peterless Goodmanzer, or Peter Goodman, or whatever the hell he calls himself. I mean, just an idiot Jew boy pretend to be an Aryan living in Iceland when it's just a Jew boy living in, around New York City, wanting to go ahead and run its own little Hal Turner sort of network and keep an eye on tards, wigger tards. Now, you have all sorts of characters like that here. And do you put too much trust in them? No. No. No, you don't. But anyway, I was hoping the Hunter would go ahead and call in. And what I would do is I would go ahead and ask him a question here and ask him, because you have Greg Johnson on this post that I went ahead and put down, going ahead and asking him about some details about his vision here. Now, me, I have a vision, but it's a rather apocalyptic vision. I believe that any political problem can be solved by killing 10 or 20 or however many million it takes of problem makers. They go ahead, I mean, it's not a matter of innocence or guilt, it's a matter of sides. And, I mean, you know, I don't see allowing policemen or social workers or judges or lawyers or politicians to live. I mean, wouldn't it just be easier to end the problem by ending their lives and whatever deal they made with a different segment of the population dies along with them when they're screaming aboard at the end of a noose or at the end of a sharp pole inserted up their, you know, their orifices were essentially skinned alive? I mean, hey, when these creatures are dead and you have all the other quiggers pissing down their leg hoping that they're not going to be next here, you can do whatever the hell you want to do. You can do whatever you need to do. So someone like myself, who is really dual seed line Christian identity, as we look at it, well, sort of like Civil War. All the oceans of shit, all the rivers of shit, fall into this big old lake. It's sort of like a cesspool. And then the question of it is that, hey, what's going to flow out of it? What is going to flow out of it when it's done with? And the answer is just nothing but righteous white people. No niggers, no Jews, no evildoers. So to me, things are really simple. If somebody who's on the other side, I mean, essentially, it's not a question of secession. Secession is going to happen. The reason it's going to happen is because Zog Babylon is falling apart. And we don't have enough in common to stick together, certainly not in peace. We don't like one another. We hate one another. So how do we go ahead and solve our problems? And the answer, we solve our problems through civil war. That's how we solve our problem. We don't have to worry about it. I listen to these idiots talking about a fiscal cliff here. What's going to happen when they stop going ahead and paying old people out their Social Security checks or giving niggers welfare? What's going to happen then? Is there any real reason that anybody should go ahead and obey the government? Keep the government in power? Speaking of which, pretty much what I've gone ahead, Harold Covington released his novel in PDF form. I went ahead and put it up on my webpage. Because it was a pain in the ass trying to download it from this file sharing thing here. You can just go ahead and click it, and that's also on my webpage, and Harold Covington went ahead and advertised it to his bunch here. It takes about, what, oh, I think 3 megabytes or so. And you can go ahead and download a PDF file, Freedom Sons, you know, on my webpage somewhere. I had a link to it. I don't know where it is right now. But anyway, folks, Hill Covington goes ahead and points out that if you end up having secession, you end up having this Northwest Republic, and then they end up fighting Zog when Zog is powerful and Zog loses, what happens then? And you have essentially Zog plotting to go ahead and try to bring back the Northwest Republic, but it can't. Essentially, it becomes an old, evil, tired empire that's destroyed its founding stock, most of them, essentially it relies upon the kindness of its enemies to keep it around. And sooner or later, it will fall apart, be ripped aside, imploded from the inside, and it will possibly, more than likely, be besieged from the outside. So folks, secession will happen. What I disagree with Hunter Wallace about is, what do we do? What are you going to do with the niggers? You really think they're going to go back and pick cotton? Even the good ones? Do you think they're going to go ahead and behave themselves? Even more to the point, what do you do with race traitor Uyghurs? Now, to me, it's simple. You simply kill them. You pretty well go ahead and perhaps go ahead and do a eugenics test and see whether or not you let their children live as slaves. Pretty well, they're a dead end. Genetically, they're a dead end because essentially the sins of the father do go to the, fourth or fifth generation if it's a case of regime criminality. We're not talking about people who go ahead and, as private people, steal or murder, but those who would go ahead and destroy our entire race. And when you end up having a racial traitor like that, his entire family needs to die. Either that, or they need to go ahead and burn out that traitor themselves and not go ahead and make it to where we have to. So in any case, folks, I'm going to go ahead and take a break. Logan's up next here, and perhaps Hunter Wallace will go ahead and come on in, and maybe guest number 6 has learned to be less of an ass clown. Who knows? We shall see. So anyway, I'm going to take about a 2-minute break, and we'll be back. Hail victory.
Cutting on the roadside, cutting in the ditch. Big Dad cutting you black sound bitch. Daddy was a Klansman, a Southern Democrat. Long white sheets and funny looking hats, singing song of the South. Whooping niggers ass and burn his house. Go with the wind. Ain't no nigger talking back again.
Yes, I admit we got a Uyghur problem. Uyghurs always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, the ways you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Uyghur problem. Build a drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating crop. I wake up and ride away, if the Uyghur come to mind. The way they run to and fro, if the Uyghurs you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Uyghur problem. Uyghurs always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, the Uyghurs you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Uyghur problem. Build a cross up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating crop. Wishes keep remembering how good God used to be. Being taught long stone, our freedom's memory. Yes, I admit we got a Uyghur problem. Uyghurs always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, the Uyghurs you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Fill the drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro. And they're always easy to drop. The way they run to and fro. And they're always easy to drop. Hello.
Yeah, did you want to take a couple minutes of silence?
Huh? Well, not anymore.
Yeah. Well, basically, I thought most of your monologue, basically, I still need to go back and I downloaded it, but I hadn't listened to the episode with Arnold Wallace. But basically, I went through the website, and he thinks that all the niggers and beaners are going to be good little slaves, and that they're, you know, basically all the niggers, you know, are going to act like racist white men. And, you know, there's only going to be a remnant, Martin. And, you know, Hunter Wallace may have, he's got racial pride. He may have a few, you know, a few good ideas, but I think he's living in a dream world. And the thing is that if you had all the white, if you had 90 to 95% of the white race in the South believe like him, it wouldn't be a problem. But the majority of the Anglo mestizos and the majority of the Wiggers are not going to think like Hunter Wallace. Even the ones that live in the South. This is not the days of the KKK back in the 20s or 30s when it was strong, okay? This is not the days of you know, when there was more racial pride and there wasn't race mixing. I mean, it used to be if a white woman was locked up by a nigger, okay, she was disowned by her family. She was ashamed to be seen with a mixed-race kid. And a lot of times she would hide it or give it up. And now, all these white women, they want to race mix with anything but a white man. And basically, Hunter Wallace is talking about getting along with everybody. He's not even talking about killing the race traitors. He's not even talking about banning the race traitors from a new Dixie. I mean...
Well, he has, you know, Greg Johnson went ahead and came in.
Yeah.
And him and Hunter Wallace have had a fight for, you know, 2 years now. And,
What are they fighting about?
Well, they used to be friends, and pretty well, Hunter says is that Greggy got all obsessive and wanted a whole bunch of money and didn't get done what needed to get done. So, these people went ahead and brought on Dr. Kevin McDonald and went ahead and brought on some other people, including Hunter Wallace, and had Hunter Wallace go ahead and they fired Greggy and he moved on from Atlanta to San Francisco. So essentially, it's hurt feelings, you know, over that here. And essentially, you've had these people go ahead and...
Who gives a shit? I mean, Greg Johnson is, you know, I only consider him to be a white racialist. And the thing about Hunter is he's got a few good ideas. But Hill Coleman is for, he's in a few good locations at the present day. Unless there was to be a hardcore civil war, it would be hard for the whites to retake the South. But the Northwest, you know, niggers and...
Well, it'd probably be, you got to go ahead and look, it'd probably be easier. What happens, Greg Johnson? I mean, I think Greg Johnson is a white nationalist, too. I don't...
I don't consider him to be much of a white nationalist. I mean, you can claim whatever you want.
Well, that's true. Well, he's more of a real white nationalist than Alex Winder is, who's a Jew boy.
Well, yeah. Cool.
Yeah, we've already had this discussion earlier on Sunday to where, essentially, Greggy, if there ends up being a fight between warlords, you can go ahead, you know, the DSCI wins here, Greggy can go ahead and reel in his pecker and say, I'm no longer a faggot. I won't be a faggot no more. I'll just go ahead and go at, I'll just go ahead and go after pussy. I won't go ahead and be a faggot no more. We can go ahead and forgive and forget here, because it's possible for Greggy to stop me. You know, it's possible for Greggy to...
Unless Greggy or any of these people embrace Yahweh, you know, I don't see where they got much of it. Now, hold on. Is he the last of Baptist? Because
I think he's... I don't know. I think he's... Oh, I think he, you know, he's just like a lot of, you know, college-based kids.
On his web page, he's got a map of the South before the Civil War and the demographics of the South today.
Yep.
He's got all these maps, and then he has a map of Southern Baptist and majority. All of us, he's a Baptist.
Okay, you went.
Hunter Wallace has a map of the Southern Baptists on his website, and it's like showing where most of the Southern Baptists are.
That's true.
Why would he put that on there unless he is...
Well, you got to understand that the Southern Baptists are the biggest Protestant denomination in, well, essentially in the United States. You understand what I mean?
Richard Lynn, who was a big preacher with the Southern Baptist, he came out and said something about the blacks, and they kicked his ass down. And then to prove that they were racist, they nominated, first time in history, the Southern Baptist just nominated the first black president.
Yeah, well, I don't really, to be honest with you, the joke around this part of the country is what he called Methodist. That's a Baptist with money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you have a number of these Anglo Mestizos, and they're Pentecostals, and they're primitive Baptists. You don't even have a church in McDonald County that says primitive Baptist. And essentially all it involves is dunking. You know what I mean? Full dunk in the river. And essentially, they dunk themselves, what? Oh, once or twice a year. You know what I mean? And, I mean, you know, I don't consider it much of religion myself here. But, in any case, I'm not worried.
Look, all of you are Judeo-Christians, okay, that I love the Jews, that even if they are not, even if they're racial, they can't be openly racial, they have to all embrace diversity, they have to all say we all come from Adam, but even if they don't like race mixing, they can't speak out against it, and basically they're all communist race mixers. I mean, the Catholics, the Protestants, you cannot, I mean, even the Greek Orthodox, you know, I've seen some in Nashville, Greek Orthodox, they got a bunch of sand niggers in there, they got a bunch of mongrels, you know. So basically, you can't tell me that any Judeo-Christian church is a Yahweh. All religion.
Well, no, I don't think it is.
The Bill of Fingerline teaches total segregation, and they label Satan's kids, the Jews, as the number one enemy. And they say that the other races, the pre-Adamics, were made before Adam, and that the Bible and that all the blessings and curses are for only the pure white race. Like I was saying, Nazi Germany, I'll say the chat room, Nazi Germany was fighting for the Aryan race, which means pure white. Okay? Aryans were pure white. And the blonde-haired, blue-eyed angelic beings that contacted the Thule Society in Germany, they said that they did not want the Aryan race to be exterminated off the earth. And they told Hitler and the Nazis, they said the Jews, and they call them Jews, they said they're destroying the Aryan race all over earth. And if we don't help you, there's no other country that's fighting. This is what they call them. They said, we're going to give you this technology, this time machine, and the Holy Ghost spaceships. And they said, we want you to preserve the area of the pure white race on Earth. That's what they told them. So they didn't hit them in office. They didn't have all the facts. They got some help. Okay? from blonde hair, blue eyed beings, which are all over the galaxy, and they're of Yahweh.
Okay.
Okay?
Anyway, what we were saying is that Greggy can always repent for being a homo, but Alex Winder can't repent for being a Jew boy.
Look. Okay? The white race. You got gay and lesbian, you got drug addicts, you got all kind of sins that the white race commits. The Jews encourage all this shit. They start the race mixing, they start the homosexuality, they start the pornography, okay? All your pornography is Jewish, okay? It's run by Jews. They make drug up some white women and force them into prostitution or force them into pornography. Okay? They may molest little boys and girls like they do in the MK Ultra, white boys and girls. Okay? They started pushing the drugs in the white country way before they pushed them in the nigger neighborhoods and they pushed them in China. Okay? The Jews are behind all the evil in the universe, Satan and his kids. But the white race, I don't give a damn if it's Greg or any of them, if they don't repent and come back to Yahweh, and the 2C1 message is the only group of people that explain the Bible in a truthful manner, Martin, okay? Because until you read it from the perspective that the Hebrew Israelites are the pure white Aryans, the pure white race, and that it's only for us, it is not for the Mongols, and the Jews are not God's chosen people like they claim, but they're Satan's children. And until you realize that, give us a chance and read a few Bible passages, and you're not going to know jack shit. That's what happened to me.
Okay?
I didn't understand any of the truth. I didn't understand any of the scripture. I thought I was a Gentile, and when I started reading the New Testament, even the modern New Testament, without, you know, any understanding, it was still clear as a bell that all the blessings and curses and the heaven and everything they talked about was only for Israel. And I thought, well, hell, that's the day of Jesus. How come all these white Gentiles go to the churches so they're going to be saved and everything? Yeah, shit, it's only... I mean, I even understood. Even though what the churches were saying, what the scripture said, and that's why I left the churches. That's why I had only read the New Testament. I hadn't read the Lost Book. I hadn't read the Old Testament. And I said, hell, you know, I'm just wasting my time. This is only for the so-called Hebrew Israelite Jews. And until I came to the identity message, I never had any understanding of what was really going on. But it made sense. It made absolute sense.
Okay.
So, anyway, that's what I'm saying, is that, you know, Hunter Wallace has racial pride. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know much about Greg Johnson. I mean, I don't really give a shit whether he's a homo or not, but if he's hanging around homos all the time, that would lead me to believe that he's either a homo or he has homo tendencies or he has sympathy to homos. Homosexuality, the gay and lesbians, I talked to a lot of lesbians because I used to go in the chat rooms a long time ago, and I would talk to them and see, get in their head, and a lot of the young lesbians that I talked to, they were approached by an older woman, and they were introduced to the lifestyle, probably as you, older woman, okay? And a lot of the young boys, not all of them, but they're molested by Catholic priests, or they're molested, you know, I talked to some so-called gay men, and they said they were molested by the church member, or the deacon, or whatever, or some Catholic priest, or whatever. So, you know, a lot of them are Jews. I mean, the Jews play on the white race, okay? I mean, personally, like I said, until you repent, if you're a son of Yahweh, if you're a child of Yahweh, until you repent, until you start keeping his laws, that's why, you know, as far as I'm concerned, all I need is to fear Yahweh and keep his laws, okay? All I need is the red letters. I don't have to listen to a bunch of theoretical horseshit doctrine and some man-made opinion, you know? Yahweh is the only creator of law. Moses may have brought it, but he didn't, it wasn't his finger that penned the Ten Commandments. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yahweh. Yahweh is the lawgiver. The angels were the enforcers. The angels were the policemen. But Yahweh was the final judge. Yahweh, I mean, we are only instruments, the sons of Yahweh. We are instruments to live by Yahweh's laws, to enforce his laws, to stand up for his truth and his laws among the white race. Solely, mainly, that there may be a time when we have to fight non-whites for survival. Okay? When we first came into America, we had to kill Indians because they were killing us. Now, you know, you want to say, well, the Indians were here first? Well, the white man came here, they couldn't get along, so they said they had to say.
Well, if, Tuesday night had Bertrand Comparé saying that Cain Sargon was in the New World and became known as Quetzalcoatl.
Yeah.
And essentially, he went ahead and introduced them to the.
I've heard of that.
That's what Bertrand Comparé said. He was essentially Quetzalcoatl. He was already setting up his satanic Roman Catholic cult, Baal cult of Cybele, Gaia, what have you, religion. He was already setting that up. He was already going ahead and setting that up in the New World. Yeah, you know, it was what Comparé said.
Well, that makes sense. And what I'm saying is, this time we need to fight non-whites. The judgment comes to the house of Israel first, okay? I didn't work out with Yahweh's law, but I'm not going back to breaking any laws. I'm not going back to the phony churches. I'm not going back to laws that they're away with, okay? So what I'm saying is that Harold Wallace, he's got some good ideas, but unfortunately, Harold Covington is in a better location to make it happen, because at least where Harold Covington is, he's not as outnumbered. I mean, you got a lot of sticks. You got like in Atlanta, you got sticks.
I'm dropping niggers.
I mean, in the South, you got all kinds of niggers, and the sticks are going to overrun the niggers, and they're not going to go peaceably, bro. The men of the sticks are not going to go back to Mexico or Africa. They're not going to be slaves. They're not going to be blue-collar workers. And they're going to do their drugs, and they're going to do the race mixing with the white women. And unfortunately, you're going to deal with the rigors first, because a lot of rigors got the race mix.
That's true. But on the other hand, you also got to realize, though, that niggers left by themselves and beaners left by themselves, They're a lower nature of subhuman.
I understand that. And I understand if they like our technology and they like our way of life, but
they're not able to main. They're not able to
hate us. They're trying to hate us by the cheating, but they still like screwing the white women and they like making mongrel babies. But they're really trying to hate us thanks to the Jew. But what I'm saying is, Look. The only way the white race is going to survive is if you got. Yeah, I wouldn't warn us to it. We can have dealings with the gooks and the niggers and the sub-races like the brown-skinned Mongol Mexicans or the brown-skinned Mongol Indians. If we had to do business with them, it'd be on our terms. These slave owners, if they had made all the niggers sign a contract and say, hey, you're going to work for me for food and board, which is what they got anyway. They got a place to sleep and they got food. Okay? You're going to work for me and you're going to sign a.
Logan, you're going Darth Vader on me every so often.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm in the same room. I'm supposed to have a kid on this damn phone. And I hate to blame it on the Jews, but, you know, it's the network or something. Hell, it ain't raining outside, it's cloudy, but, you know, it ain't that bad of weather, so.
Okay, well, you just were going that. What I'm trying to say is that there's a reason that the second segment, you know, on the second segment, I always play Whigger Problem. And the reason I play Whigger Problem is that, as far as I'm concerned, we have a Whigger Problem.
And the majority of the white race are Whiggers, and they're going to stay Whiggers, Margaret. The majority of the white race are not going to wake up and help Hunter Wallace, or me and you, or Harold Covington, or anybody else do anything worthwhile for y'all and the white race. That's just a fact. The majority of the white race are cowards, okay? They were, I mean, basically, even if deep down inside they're racist, They're too cowardly to admit it. They're too cowardly to do anything about it. They're lazy. Okay? Basically, the Jews have defeated and domesticated a bunch of rivers. Okay? From cradle to grave, they have brainwashed and indoctrinated them with Jewish communism. You know? And they're not taught to think like children of Yahweh. They're not taught to think like white men, the white woman. They're not taught to be strong racial pride and to have, literally have morals and values on the white society 100 years ago or 200 years ago. Come on.
Well, I agree with that here. What happened, what Greg Johnson was asking here is that there are a bunch of wiggers. Since Greg Johnson was asking, you know, Hunter Wallace, come on, Hunter. A lot of you Southerners like niggers, and a lot of you Southerners hate wiggers more than, you know, and you love niggers. How are you going to go ahead and determine who gets to stay in your racial, nation state here? And how, what I believe is going to end up happening is that this matter will be decided through civil war. It's not going to go ahead and be decided peacefully. Now, I don't think Hunter wants to go ahead, and pretty well I said that Hunter would probably initially try to go ahead and go with, you know, you remember old Mittens Romney? Old Mittens, when he was running for the primary, he was talking about how these beaners would self-deport themselves because the economy has been turned to shit. Well, Hunter sort of believes that the niggers and the beaners will sort of self-deport each other. Now, the beaners will, to some extent here, they'll go ahead and look for easier places, like in the case of Arizona, in the case of Alabama. They went ahead and passed a bunch of laws. And in Missouri, because they passed a bunch of quiet laws, not as extreme as Arizona or Alabama, but they quietly passed a number of laws to where essentially...
The beaner basically is a sad nigger. He's not, I mean, they sell drugs and...
Well, they're just a subhuman animal. They essentially wants to go ahead and come to this country and be given the white man's stuff. And essentially, they want to...
Also, they breed like rabbits. I mean, basically, they're out breeding niggers right now. A long time ago, the niggers used to breed a lot of babies in Africa. But in America, they got the nigger weed, they got the nigger train the tin down, and they got the nigger, white woman. And so the niggers are not really having as many babies as the Spics. And the Spics are a little more organized. So, they've got to call the niggers to...
Okay, you're going Darth Vader on me again.
You know, look. The beaners
are essentially they're breeding like rats.
Yeah.
And essentially, that's what happens with the non-whites. What they do is that they will fill any particular land up to the carrying capacity of this land and then some, and thus go ahead, like in Haiti, they will destroy the land. Correct?
Okay.
You know, would you agree with that?
Yeah. Look, if you go to Mexico is just as high crime, it's just as big a shithole as Lagos, Nigeria. Okay, and that's what happens when you get a bunch of beaners. Or a bunch of niggers, and even the goods. The goods do not have. Now, the goods are supposed to commit less crime than the niggers or beaners, the full-blooded Asian, the goods. But if they were not given the white man's technology, they would be living in a shithole. And most of China, when you get outside the bigger cities, is a shithole anyway. Okay? So basically, this is what happens when the white people don't have racial pride and they don't want to kick the Jew out of their country and they don't want to kick all the non-whites out of their country and they don't want to try to save their race. This is what happened, Martin. Okay? And this is what's happening in all the white countries today. I mean, you can't tell me that America is a white racialist country that thinks like a white man. It's been hijacked, taken over by the Jews, and basically it was started by a bunch of Freemasons, Wiggers, in the beginning, okay? And the Jews brought the slaves here. And don't get me wrong, the white people treated the blacks better than the Jews ever would, and better than they've probably ever been treated.
But
it's still destructive. It was still, I mean, in the end, it was destructive for the black race and the white race, because the black race has been mongrelized too. And, you know, if y'all had made, you know, if y'all had made the niggers and goops, you certainly didn't make them become their own kind to be with their own kind. Okay? And, you know, the beaters are a mixed race anyway. But what I'm saying is that the Jews have done a good job for their father, Satan, to basically destroy, and for the New World Order to infiltrate and destroy all the white countries of the earth. So you've only got a white that they're racist, and the rest of the whites are leaders. And I don't think they're going to change. I think the majority of the whites are not going to come out of Wiggerdom, and I think they're going to follow Jews down the yellow brick road of the highway to hell. You know? That's what I think.
Okay. Let's see. Let's go ahead and...
Look, what if Hunter Rawls plays? Is he
going to
call the South to wake up and
see
his
team?
Does Hunter
Rawls play? Well, I think he's going ahead and working on... Let's go ahead and we've been talking for 25 minutes. Let's just go ahead and take a short, about 2-minute break, if that. And it says I've hung up here. So, folks, let's just go ahead and take a 2-minute break, folks. Hail Victory.
There was some dork named Hal who thought the Fibbies were his pal. So he went ahead and made a deal to snitch. But he threatened judges three, a jury slapped old Hal CB. So Hal's gonna be my dick, Wigger bitch. So I'll go fuck you up. Yes, I'll go fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty Jew's commands. So I'll go fuck you up. Yes, I'll go fuck you up. So you best be a rebellin' while you can. Long ago, a rat named Glenn ran his comrades over and again. But Zog gave him a bag full of Zog bucks. A little Guido loves digging fox, pitches, tickles, and cocksucks. The colostomy bag's name is the NL. Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty Jew's commands. Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. So you best be a rebellin' while you can. I used to know a pop named Visser, a Duke Mips goober little pisser, who was going ass to mouth with lion right. A mum that nigger and East molester, a pisser, pooper, possum, chester. Not a single one of them was very bright. Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty Jew's commands. Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. So you best be a rebellin' while you can.
Okay, folks, we're back here. Let's see here. I went ahead and accidentally, I guess I went ahead and hit the wrong button on Roxy's cell phone. And that's my fault. Anyway, folks, we're back. What does Hunter Wallace believe here? Well, folks, he did go ahead and post what he believes, what he thinks, what he hopes here. And essentially, he did go ahead and add more to this particular post here. And let's go ahead and look and see what Hunter Wallace is. I'm here always amazed at the professionalism of the show. Well, yes. I ended up muting you here. I figured out you weren't a pisser possum. You're just a nimtards. Nimtard, guest number 6 here. Anyway, let's go ahead and look at what Hunter Wallace's vision, goal, strategy, tactics is. I went ahead and posted a link to, and, he says he's an ethno-nationalist. He believes that ethnicity is more powerful than race. Now, folks, what Hunter has done as a result of dealing with white nationalist movement, bowel movement tards, including Jews and Mamzers and the rest of these ass clowns going in, he believes that ethnicity, i.e., a sub-race is more, or a subculture, which is of a sub-race, is more important than race here. He has been quite correctly pointing out that even in the original 13 colonies, you end up having, an Albion seat. I went ahead, was talking to that with Hunter Wallace. You had people going ahead and with their, essentially you had what? Oh, you had the Saxons who were Anglicans who moved to Virginia and the Carolinas, which were slaveholders, which were cavaliers in the English Civil War of the 1600s, 1625 to really 1688. You had the, quote, Puritans who were Anglicans, who were from, Angles, from the islands in the Baltic, mainly, and part of the, part of the peninsula of Jutland. You had the, Danes here who were the, and the Puritans, of course, were, Puritan, and they were the roundheads. They were the ones who followed Oliver Cromwell, who beat the Saxon cavalier followers of the king. You had the Danes who were from the central part of the state when the Danes invaded England, and they became mainly Quakers in Pennsylvania, and you end up having these backwood Appalachian types here who were the Scottish, North English borderers who fought with each other and who were a warlike people. And, folks, in Albion Seat, when they had pointed out, you had four different tribes following essentially four different Protestant religions in America. And that's not bringing in the Dutch from New York or from, New Jersey, a few Swedes in, New Jersey. Let's see, a few other people, and these Germans who were essentially assimilated. And later on, these Irish, who in many cases were not fully assimilated. But you had different people here of different, I guess you could say, ethnicities. And that's what you're talking about. You're talking about what they were and what they became, and he believes that the South is a different ethnicity. And therefore, he calls himself a Southern nationalist. Okay? So, in any case, you had Hibernigger, well, guest number 6 says it's a pipe dream. And the answer is no, it's not here. Folks, we may not agree as to what is, what is going to be left when Zog Babylon falls apart. In fact, guest number 6 and I will not agree. But we should agree, we should understand that Zog Babylon is not going to last forever, ever, any more than the Assyrian or the Persian or the Macedonian or the Roman Empire lasted, because every single empire destroys its founding white stock. And that's exactly what is going on. You end up having Jews going ahead and openly gloating about the end of white America. And what happens is,
they've been doing that for a long time, Martin. I mean, hell.
Well, they've been gloating about that.
Bill and Hillary Clinton, I mean, even Obama, I mean, they're just saying how they you know, what was it? Was it Bill Clinton or said that one day that whites would be a minority, and then Eleanor Roosevelt?
Well, he said 40 years. He went ahead and pointed out. You know, he left the presidency, you know, in the early month, you know, a few days into 2001. And pretty well he was gloating is that, what, you know, by the year, what, 2048, whites will be a minority in our own country, and that's a good thing. You know, gloat, 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 gloat. But what happens is that now with the second selection of Obongo, you know, with the second, you know, selection of Obongo, I'm looking at the news about they're trying to seize polygamous compound here. You know what I mean? They're going against. I mean, folks, there's a solution. If somebody tries to go ahead and pull a Waco on you, essentially, you're thoroughly justified in killing all the children and friends and family of regime criminals and police here. Folks, there's some people who believe, you know, the secession won't work here. Folks, I believe it's inevitable. There's a difference between Hunter Wallace and Greg Johnson and Harold Covington and, you know, and myself here. Me, they want to go ahead and build something. They want to go ahead and work on building something. I'm not interested in building something. I'm just simply interested in destroying something.
We don't have the power and the resources and the means to build anything.
Well, even though, you know, I don't even have the wanting to rebuild.
A civil war or until there is a great. Yahweh has a tribulation and a cleansing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We can't do shit without Yahweh's help because we're too outnumbered, because the majority of wiggers are not going to help us. They're on the side of Satan and his kids.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we... many warlords that are all over the earth to basically fight for your own household, your own family, And any other wigger that will listen, because basically the majority of the wiggers are not going to listen.
I'm looking at the news here. Here's this little blonde, blue-eyed girl. I mean, she looks like she's about 10, 11, 12. And essentially, she doesn't want Texas to go ahead and seize her home. You know what I mean? Now, I bet those Mormons, I bet they're all for secessionism. Don't you bet? Don't you wish that essentially they wish there was no state of Texas? Don't you? Don't you
hold
think?
On, hold on. Are you talking about this daughter to that girl?
Yeah, I'm looking on CNN here.
Is she part of war in Jeff's compound? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, something like Texas tries to seize polygamous compound. And what you do is you say old Wolf Schitzer and some other tard. And I went ahead and seen some news puke go ahead and talking to some, what, 10 or 11 little blonde, blue-eyed girl. I mean, she's dressed in a settler dress or something like that. I bet her and her parents, I bet they wish they could secede from Texas. Don't you?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Don't you think that they probably don't have much use for Texas public schools or Texas social workers
pigs? Hey, if they were in Utah, I guarantee they wouldn't be seizing shit because Utah's pretty much run by the Mormons, but because they're in another state.
You'll have turncoat Mormons who think that Warren Jeffs is an apostate because he actually believes, you know, the shit that...
Yeah, they're going to get by with more shit in Utah. Basically, they're going to get by with more shit in Utah than anywhere else. But basically, if this was a Jew, or if this was a nigger stick, and they had multiple wives, or maybe not even married, if it was a nigger stick that sold drugs, and he was a pimp, and maybe he had 50 women knocked up, and he slapped the shit out of them, and gave them AIDS, and a bunch of mongrel babies on welfare, sucking off the taxpayer tit, So I don't give a shit. But then it's the white people, they got to destroy the Amish or the Mennonites or the Mormons or any group of whites. Because basically, that's your job, Martin.
Well, that's your job. That's why, I mean, my sister, folks, I had my Tuesday night show. My sister came to see me first time in about 3 years here. And, of course, my brother, he came up here. He's just paranoid that my sister and I are conspiring against him. And, essentially she's tired. She's sort of beat down. Her husband went ahead and died, I think it was in April or May or something like that here. And, essentially he died after a long illness in Florida hospitals. And, he came back to this neck of the woods, and he died in Springfield or something like that, in a nursing home in Springfield or something like that here. And essentially she was, she just wanted to go ahead. She sort of beat down. My brother was acting like an ass clown, of course. And, essentially I went ahead and apologized to her. I said, shoot, what happens is that when, I was wrong because essentially I sided with Mike because I wanted us all to go ahead and hold the ranch in common. Essentially wanted us all to go ahead and live in common, and essentially you didn't want to go ahead and live under my brother Mike's thumb. So essentially I was wrong. I mean, I was wrong. Mike didn't like hearing that, but the thing about it is that her and him could not live in common. Essentially, Mike went ahead and, he used me, and then he's pretty well working on stealing my mom's money and her portion of the farm and all this sort of thing. And, he essentially whines, and he's a liar and he's a hypocrite. And, like I told her, the beginning of my fighting with him was when he was, when he said he was glad the government sent him to prison, and the end of it was essentially, in May 2001, and the end of the essentially fighting was in May 2009 when he said that he wished the government had sent me to prison so he could do whatever the hell he wanted to do with me out of the way. In my own family. In my own family, you have traitors. And I can't blame it on Jews. I can't go ahead and blame it on Mamzers. I got to blame it essentially. And my brother wasn't raised to be a traitor or a liar or a thief or a hypocrite, but he became one, didn't he?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, basically, Martin, y'all grew up in the Worldwide Church of God. You got part of the dual seed line message, and then you became hardcore and realized the Jews weren't the tribe of Judah, but they were saving the kids. And basically,
well, I was raised essentially for 10 years, from essentially 1969 to 1979. 1979, essentially, yeah. 10 years, and essentially, then I went to college at Rolla, and I sure as hell wasn't going to Herbert's. I wasn't going to go to Herbert the Pervert's damn church, when I got away from home. And then I was in the Army, and there sure as hell wasn't one in Germany. So, about 10, 15 years, I had enough of Herbert. I had enough of, British Israelitism. I had enough of this and that. But what happens is, it says you train up a child in the way that he should go, so that when he gets older, he will not depart from it. So essentially, it's the same thing with, Pastor John Britton. He was in rebellion against what his dad was trying to teach too. And you go ahead and you go ahead and you grow into it. Now, the reason I believe dual seed line Christian identity is that it essentially makes sense. It makes far more sense than the British Israelite version that, there was a worldwide flood and, essentially Cain, Cain went ahead and married one of the sisters, and essentially, why did Yahweh mark Cain if Cain has killed Abel and there's just Adam, Eve, and Cain running around? Why does Cain have to be marked? And the answer is he doesn't have to be marked if essentially you believe traditional Christianity. But if you believe the dual seed line, everything is explained. You know what I mean? That's why I'm playing the Compare. That's why I'm playing the Compare sermons, because Compare was the best at defining the basics of dual seed line Christian identity. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He was at the best here. I mean, I don't have to read Dr. Kevin MacDonald and have to read his 500-page book about how Jews are different from white people. No shit, Maynard. Or no shit, Kevin. You know what I mean? I don't need to read 500 pages of, three books of 500 pages. I mean, Compare pretty well described in about 5 pages what Dr. Kevin MacDonald doesn't finish explaining in 500. You know what I mean? The reason Jews are different is that they're the spawn of Satan. Now, my sister had my sister-in-law's brother, and he's the nicest one of the lot here. I mean, I'd heard it was the one that I didn't much care for, who I thought was a total freaking dork, but it's a nice one here who was up there, and he sort of didn't believe me, even though he had gone to Herbert's church here. But in any case, my sister and him are driving around, and Roxy thinks that they're interested in each other, and it doesn't really matter because, I don't know if he got a little bit of red nigger in him or not. My sister is, 48 and a half? So she's probably too old and not interested in squeezing out any more children. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, and she looks, surprised. I think I look younger than most men, 54, and next month I'll be, 55. I'm the oldest here, but I guess I look like the youngest, I mean, they see my brother Mike and they assume that I'm the younger. No, I'm the older one. I was the shortest one. I'm only 6'2", 6'2½" or so, but, it depends on, in the morning I'm 6'2½", at night I'm probably only 6'2". But anyway, they say you lose about a half inch, over the day when the little bags or sacks in your back sort of decompress here. But in any case, my brother, he's 6'4" here. But what surprised the crap out of my sister is that he's admitted 335 pounds. He looks more like he's 350, maybe 360. I mean, he's just gotten really fat. You know what I mean?
Well, the majority of Wiggers, the Jews that believe the food system, and they don't eat homegrown, home-cooked, clean food and clean water, and they don't eat healthy. They eat these restaurants with all this processed and polluted food.
Part of it is, he got him a pickup truck and he will not walk. He was asking, why do I walk? Why I walk?
The Wiggers are damn lazy. If they get a remote control, they don't even get up on the damn lazy chair and go change the TV. Wiggers just think they got it made with basically their cheap little technology that the Jews has given them, and their damn cable TV, and their drugs, and their booze, and their polluted food. The Wiggers are just fat, dumb, and happy, but they don't have a clue. And then when you or I try to tell them,
he was going ahead and laughing at me for walking 2 blocks up to the store. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then carrying 20, 30, 40 pounds of groceries back home, in sacks here, and You know, I'm an idiot, but, hey, well, I guess I'm not as fat as you are. You know what I mean? But, hey, he shouldn't weigh more than about 20 pounds more than I do. You know what I mean? He shouldn't weigh over, what, 260, 270. But, hell, he weighs, what, at least 350 pounds. He's gotten pretty fat here. But, anyway, my sister was here, and essentially her, oh, the one who's, you know, driving her around, essentially he's, you know, he went ahead and went to Herbert Armstrong's church and listened, and I don't know if it made much of an impression on him here. He, you know, he sort of thought that me talking about how Jews, you know, Jews are God's chosen people, and we must be Jews here, because that's what we were taught in Herbert's church here, and that's, you know, my brother didn't pick up any of that either, you know what I mean? You understand what I'm saying? But he was saying that he's a millwright. And I said, well, you know, I imagine you have fewer jobs than what you used to have, because they pretty well deindustrialized America in the last dozen years quite a bit. And he said, no, they've taken down 45,000 factories in the United States. You know what a millwright is, don't you?
A Mennonite or a millwright?
Millwright.
Millwright. They work with steel, don't they? Or
well, what they do is that they set up, you know, they set up assembly lines. They set up, essentially, they set up a whole factory, you know, manufacturing installations for, well, essentially manufacturing raw materials, going ahead and setting up assembly lines, setting up places to go ahead and package, you know, manufactured goods. I mean, they go ahead and they essentially set up they set up the factories. They're the skilled labor which goes ahead and sets up factory here. The term millwright came from when you used to have water driven mills in streams or rivers, which would go ahead and grind grain or full cloth here, or essentially go ahead and do these, you know, do sawmills. Essentially, you had these mills, essentially mills or factories, would go ahead and they would use for energy. They would go ahead and use water. Then later on, they would go ahead and use steam. And then later on, they would essentially use electricity later on. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, basically, Martin, okay, the water is free energy. It's falling, but it's very limited because there's only so many sources, to get all the power we need. But basically, I mean, they could have clean nuclear energy, but the Jews, they told Japan, basically, you pay us money because the Illuminati extorted, we're trying to extort money from the Japanese. The Japanese said no. The security company for Fukushima was a G-run security company. They intentionally blew up. They created a false tsunami with a nuclear bomb under the ocean, and they also put explosives in the reactors. They intentionally did that shit to destroy Japan because for retribution. Anytime the Jews don't get their way, just like when they told the Saddam Hussein, that, you know, or no, they told the Afghanistan people that if they wouldn't let them run the pipeline through and steal all the minerals, that they were going to bomb the hell out of them.
And they did.
It's just the way the Jews operate, okay, basically. But what I'm getting at, not even the clean, free energy of the water or the solar or the windmills, the Tesla generator. I bought the plan for this. I don't have time right now with my job and my other shit I got going on. I don't have time. But I bought the plans for the Tesla free energy generator. I talked to this guy, is in Indiana, but there's other people doing it, but he's got one of the best I mean, the plans he put, he's got how to build a generator. If you get all the parts and the magnets and everything, basically it's a free energy device, and it there's energy all over the universe. Okay, I mean, because matter cannot be created or destroyed, but only transformed from one form to another. Energy cannot be the first two laws of thermodynamics. Okay, energy is transformed from one form to another, but it can't be created or destroyed. Well, there's all kind of energy that can be collected on this Earth, and the free energy device picks up on it, and it spins around with magnets, and if you build it big enough, you could power your home forever, and you would never have to add any more energy or, you know, pay an electric bill. Tesla invented this in, hell, 100 years ago, but the Jews, he worked for Westinghouse, and the Jews stole all his secrets, and they had this technology, but you got to think, they're the destroyers. They don't want to help anybody else but themselves, and they fight amongst each other, and basically, their job is to destroy the white race, like we said. That's what they do, you know. That's their favorite thing to do, is destroy the white race. I mean, they destroy the niggers and geeks if they want. I mean, they don't really like the other races, but that's what they're doing best.
Okay. Well, anyway,
So basically, I don't know how we got off on the energy thing. You were talking about the mineralized in the water.
Okay, yeah, we're talking about that here.
Okay.
The
free energy device is better than a windmill or solar or water, because that's limited. You could create a free energy underground where there is no sun, underground where there is no falling water, and where there is no wind. And look, you could create all over the Earth, and nobody would have to pay an electric bill. And if nobody had a house note, or a car note, or electric note, then all the white race could...
What if in this country, let's say you don't believe that Jesus Christ is going to come back. Essentially, if you had a nation of what? 30 million white people?
I'm sorry?
If you had a nation of only 30 million white people, does anybody doubt that there would be enough for everyone?
It's not enough, okay? If we had a nation that thought like Nazi Germany, or thought like white people were supposed to, and we were under Yahweh's laws, and only Yahweh was king, only Yahweh Yeshua was the high priest, okay? And we were working, if we were obeying Yahweh's laws and serving him and working together as a white racial family, okay, and had morals and values and respect, we can conquer them. I mean, which is all my country, but in a country right now, it's really enough.
You're going Darth Vader on me again.
Well, Yahweh said that he's going to give us abundance if we obey his laws.
Okay.
But the white race, this is why I had a problem with Harold Covington or Greg Johnson or, even though one of us believes a Baptist Christian, he's not dual seedline, but at least, here the Baptists say the laws are going to lower. I mean, there's a problem there, Martin. Let me ask you something. Did Yahweh bless the white race in the Old Testament when they didn't obey his laws? No.
I went ahead and read Deuteronomy chapter, I believe, 28, about the curses.
All these white races, these white nations, and how can they be destroyed by Yahweh? If he didn't bless the Old Testament, how the hell is he going to bless Greg Johnson and Harold Covington? How the hell is he going to bless Carolyn Yeager and all these other white nationalists that are not dual seedline? And hell, and even if they go to church, the laws are going to lay with Mark.
I haven't gone to Carolyn Yeager for a long time except for Saturday, and from what I gather, she's not getting very many guests here. I think they're standing her up. And so she went ahead and announced she's not going to do her Saturday afternoon with Carolyn Yeager until, what, January or so. But in any case, let me see here. I'm pretty well looking at what he says here. See, you got to understand is that Hunter Wallace has been essentially used and abused by people who claim to be white nationalists, be it Alex Linder, be it the Four Fags Thebes, be it whoever. And so what he's done is he's decided that essentially the South is going to be its entire region of about a quarter of the former Zog, essentially 13 states, which is about a quarter of Zog. And essentially, you know, he hasn't worked out how he's going to go ahead and deal with Uyghur race traders, much less how we're going to go ahead and deal with the Beaners and the Niggers. Now, Greg Johnson is going ahead and simply pointing out, you know, how do you go ahead and make secession work here? Do you think that all the old people who rely on a Social Security check, do you think they're going to want to secede, you know, now that they're finally retired and that's the only thing they got? And the answer is no.
Well, the majority of Uyghurs are on a pension or a welfare check. Well, I got Uyghurs in my own family, and, shit, I tell them I probably voted for Obama so they could keep them in unemployment and a welfare check. I mean, well, I tell Uyghurs all the time, and they just want what's best. Look, they don't think about long run. They think about the short term. And, look, basically, the Uyghurs are acting just like a Beaner or a Nigger, okay? Basically, the Jews have turned the white race into a bunch of low IQ, bookmaking. I'm going to feel like that. I'm going to feel like a bunch of them, better than that. I mean, in some ways, they're Uyghurs and Beaners. You know, but what makes them so bad?
Okay. Oops. Hello?
Yeah.
Is that you or me?
I'm saying it is that, yeah, these Uyghurs are on a welfare check. Why would they want jobs to die? That means they have to get up off their fat ass and they got to go work for a living instead of sucking off the system.
Okay. Well, he's pointing that essentially I think he's gone ahead. I did go ahead and on Sunday night's show, he had about a 2-minute section to where he explained that he didn't actually have a problem with Harold Covington. He, you know, or Hunter Wallace didn't. Essentially, he had this guy named Robert Campbell and a number of people. They were moderating. They were going ahead and moderating his, his threads and his posts here. And when he came back, he was gone somewhere. When he came back, essentially, they'd gone ahead and pissed off Harold Covington. And I pointed out that, no, it wasn't fair, that essentially Robert Campbell became known as the great, Northwest freedom advocate. He became known as Hunter Wallace, the idiot with testicles, the size of pencil erasers. He's now the little fat, president of the United States. I mean, it wasn't fair at all, but that's the way it was. And essentially, he does give Harold Covington the credit. But, folks, you have these secessionist movements going on all over the Zogland. You have them.
I would like to think that all the Uyghurs that own firearms, some of them are preparing with food, water, guns, and ammo. I would like to think there's Uyghurs all over, even if they're not extremely racial. I would like to think that Uyghurs will fight back if the time comes. Because, I just got an email. I don't know if I sent it to you or not, Martin. I just got an email. Supposedly, the District of Criminals, the Senate, the House of Representatives, were voting today, Thursday. They were voting on the law, the treaty that Obama signed, where they can send federal or UN troops to disarm America. That's what they were voting for, because Obama signed the treaty, but they were trying to get the District of Criminals to pass it as law, where they will disarm all the citizens in America, and if they don't disarm, they will shoot to kill. And I would like to think that Wiggers, whether they're racial or not, whether they're white nationalists or not, I would like to think that some of them will get pissed.
Okay, but what we're talking about is that, folks, as far as...
Wait a minute. What do you think about... I don't even know that they're supposed to vote on today, supposedly. I know that Obama signed the treaty. The treaty says they can do it, but that's the United Nations treaty. But what do you think about the U.S. Senators and the House of Representatives? What if they passed? I don't know if they did or not, but what if they...
Well, the thing about it is that's why I didn't think Obamacare would pass. I mean, essentially, all you're going to do is have a lot of white people just simply refuse to file income taxes.
Well, the thing
about it is, though, is that once they go ahead and do that, what if pigs get shot down dead here? I mean, the problem is, it's just sort of like niggers threatening to riot, beaters threatening to riot. I mean, essentially, once you end up having the start of civil war, how do you get it back? I mean, people will be scared. I mean, they're after you. They tried to go ahead and send you to prison, have you murdered, and that's why I told my sister, and she knew it's true here. And the thing about it is on the short, on the other end of the extent here, I mean, I don't have any respect for the lives of the children of regime criminals or of Quakers or niggers or gooks. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I'm justified in skinning, their children alive. I mean, I don't have any love for these people. I mean, we're just waiting for civil war to go ahead and take place. What I wanted to point out is that secession is on people's minds. It's been on people's minds for a while. But after Obongo went ahead and won through a and there was some crookedness going on, but you go ahead and you look and you understand that America is no place for white men anymore. Essentially, they're out overtly to destroy us as a race and as a people. And generally, the only thing that is left is essentially to go ahead and have a civil war between regime criminal Wiggers and those who support it. I'm not really worried about the niggers and beaners or even the Jews too much. I'm worried about the Wiggers. And once you go ahead and you have a civil war, you have the beginning of it, essentially, where is it going to stop? And the answer is, not going to stop here.
It's not going to stop. It can't stop. Once it starts, once you get enough Wiggers walked up and the civil war starts, it can't stop. There's a political resolve is taking out power. It cannot stop. And that's the point.
Yeah, okay. And the logic... Okay, you went dark there, but essentially... Okay. Logan, we're only getting about half. Slow down a little bit, okay?
Without a great situation.
Mm-hmm. Over anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. And essentially, other people blame the Jews or the niggers or the beaners. Essentially, I blame the Wiggers for the situation we're in. And pretty well, That's why I go ahead and point out it's the Great Tribulation, which is the only solution here. So when you're asking about this law that supposedly these traitors are voting for, these short-sighted traitors, who essentially, it's only in the back of their mind that they might go ahead and be kicking, kicking at the end of a rope. But essentially, someone like me, I try my best, and I look at my job isn't to go ahead and, like Jesus Christ said, my job is not to go ahead and bring about peace, it's to bring about a sword. It's to go ahead and put a man's father, son at variance with his father, and father against son, and brother against brother. I mean, let's understand something here. My own family, I got a brother who told me that he not only was glad that the government sent my dad to prison, but that he was hoping the government would go ahead and send me to prison. So when you go ahead and you look and you hear that sort of thing, is this man really a brother, or is he rather an enemy to you? You understand what I mean?
He's become a enemy. Look, Yahweh said your worst enemy will be of your own household.
Matthew 10:36. A man's enemy, a man's foe, shall be they of his own household. Right?
This is what it's talking about, and this is why judges are going to submit
Okay. Logan, you're breaking up here. Anyway, so we are agreed. We are agreed, Logan, that secession is something that's going to go ahead, and essentially it's now at the front of people's minds. And it's not going to go back to the end of people's minds. Essentially, it's at the front of people's minds because some people have figured out that the only cure for them and their race and their family and their own interests is secession. And so secession will end up meaning, of course, civil war, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So anyway, let's go ahead and take a break. I don't think Hunter Wallace is going to go ahead and show up. If he does, that's fine. If he doesn't, that's fine too. Let's go ahead and take about a 2 or 3 minute break for me to say the chat and to do a few things, and we'll be back in about 2 or 3 minutes, okay? Hail Victory.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
Okay, folks, I was looking at this article by Hunter Wallace. Let me see. Let me go ahead and... What are you doing, Logan? Sounds like you're banging something.
Yeah, I'm cooking a white duck snack, man. Yeah.
Okay, well, let me go ahead and...
So Hunter Wallace is not coming in, right?
I don't know. He might be doing a number of things here. You know what I mean?
Who the hell is this Robert Campbell? Who the hell is this guy?
Oh, it was one of these... It was one of these pierce-tard, create-tard ass clowns comment on Linder's forum, and essentially he had a big old break with Linder, and essentially Hunter Wallace, or Fade the Butcher, or Brad Griffin, whatever you want to call him, and essentially essentially Linder, I think, got the best of him by making him to go ahead and reveal his own real name here. But he prefers to be called Hunter Wallace. And he's been doing that ever since he claimed to be George Wallace's grandson way back in, 2005 or so. I mean, Hunter has had his periods. You know what I mean? But in any case, he was a little rich kid, and all these people are jealous of it because they wish they had the money. And what he had is that back in the day, 2005, back when V-Bulletin cost $160 and hosting cost about $200, I mean, essentially for $400, he could go ahead and have a web page. You understand what I mean? He could have a forum. And pretty well the first major one of any note to have a forum was Stormfront 2003, followed soon by VNNF here. And I've tried to explain to people that once you end up getting a forum, the web page usually gets second shift. You know what I mean? Now, I do have a whitenationalist.org web page, usually followed by Slice Linstead, and then followed by, I got an FAEM web page. I got a number of other web pages, but the main one I use on White National Stuff. I have a few blogs here. I had one, and I need to go ahead and restore the Pastor Linstead, blog. I have a number of web pages, and what happens is that I've used Mamzers.org to store my audio files and my major web pages. You understand what I'm saying? Because once you go ahead, you set up a web page, you want to keep it set that away so that people will know, once there's a hyperlink, so there won't be a dead link. Now, Patrick Henry Online over at Monet.com has pretty well died. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
But any case here, George Washington actually started out as a liberal, and he went ahead and lost this election. I don't know if you've seen the thing about Wallace by Gary Sinise. Essentially lost it to a more liberal politician named Patterson. And after that, after he lost in the early 1960s, he said, "I'll never be out niggered again." He lost in the 50s, about the time when, Fabius of Arkansas was saying, and Lester Maddox and the rest here. So he, George Wallace said, "I'll never be out niggered again." So he made a big deal about, nigger, 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 nigger. And essentially when it came down to it, when it came time to segregate Alabama, George Wallace pussied out. You know what I mean? And essentially that's what he was. And toward the end of his life, he became a noted nigger lover. Okay? So he was just a politician here. You know what I mean?
Hold on, so you're saying George Wallace was really not that racist in the end?
No, well, he probably wasn't. He wasn't racist in the beginning. He was very racist in the middle. Remember, in the late 50s, he ran against a more liberal Democrat, and he lost the primary to this more liberal Democrat who became, quote, racist.
He wasn't a hardcore segregationist like he
pretended to be. What happens is that after he lost this election, you know, in Alabama, he's, you know, for governor to this guy named Patterson, he said, "I'll never be out niggered again." You know, out niggered. And essentially, so he, you know.
Basically, politicians are just fools and they're going to go to high
school. Well, they were whores. And toward the end, George loved niggers. George Wallace loved niggers. And essentially, the niggers despised him for not only being a racist, but for being a lying piece of political shit here. You know what I mean?
Who was it, who was that, senator or congressman that was supposedly real racist, and he ended up with like a nigger granddaughter or something? And
Nigger daughter. You know, he was a big racist here, but hell, he still liked that coontang, so essentially until after he died, he lived to be 100 some. Strom Thurmond, South Carolina.
Yeah, scrap it was.
Strom Thurmond. Dick, you know, head of the Dixiecrats, the old Trent, low-rent Trent Lott, said if Strom Thurmond had been elected president, we wouldn't be in this, you know, situation. So they had to give up his Senate House, you know, majority leader's, you know, seat here, something like that here. They pretty well ridiculed the crap out of them. You know what I mean? Yeah, so he went to a nigger church and asked for forgiveness for being racist here. So, Hunter Wallace pretended to be George Wallace's grandson. And, folks, people have made fun of Hunter Wallace here, okay?
Yeah.
But what he's trying to do is that I was going ahead and looking here. Hunter Wallace has been badly treated by, quote, white nationalism, including Linder here. I'm looking at the last thing about where the fault line lays in Missouri. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The thing about it is that supposedly...
Well, basically, a lot of people are jealous of Hunter Wallace because he's got money, but, you know, is he saying the right things? And some of what he's saying, I would agree with, and at least he is racially minded. I mean, you know, all these people, I mean, basically everybody's fighting between and everything, trying to steal everything he had, and Wiggers too. I mean, that's pretty sad, Martin, that basically, you know, if Wiggers got money and he wants to help his fellow Wiggers out, that's one thing. But just to basically sleeves up to somebody and try to steal what they got, I mean, that's pretty shitty, you know?
Okay. Well, I'm looking. I went ahead and invited him. He went ahead and, you know, did this. Anyway, he went ahead and finished the second portion. He finished the second portion of his strategy. You know what I mean? His strategy is Christianity and conservative. You know, his strategy. Well, let's go ahead and go with his tactics here. Let's see. You know, our strategy, working within the system. You know, and you know, Hunter says, "I will set the outlet. We believe reforming the system is impossible. In the United States, we live under a system of representative government. Southern nationalists have no objection in principle to the system of representational government. It works in homogeneous countries, but doesn't work in heterogeneous ones here." So he goes ahead and points out that America is a failure as a nation. There is no political solution but secession and independence to that problem. Folks, that's how it's going to work here, is that like people will cleave together when it comes down to it. And he points out is that Americans no longer share a common race, a common ethnicity, a common culture, a common religion, a common history, or a common philosophical worldview. As America becomes ever more diverse, we will find we have even less in common with other, quote, Americans. The truth be told, if this were a marriage, we would have gotten divorced a long time ago. And he's right about that.
Yeah.
He points out white Southerners are a permanent minority in the Union. He goes ahead and says the Democratic media no longer even tries to hide its racial and cultural contempt for white Southerners. So what are our options here? He says the first option is submission. he says, we can submit to being ruled indefinitely by a coalition of Yankees and Jews and people of color. We can lose our freedom. We can lose our culture. In the long run, we allow this majority of racial, ethnic, and cultural aliens to plunder us of everything we own. Well, Hunter, it's not only going to be everything you own, it's going to be your very lives, which you're going to lose.
Yes.
Second option is self-delusion. We can delude ourselves into believing everything will be fine. We can run Marco Rubio in 2016 and win over legions of budding black conservatives and Hispanic conservatives. And essentially, that's idiotic. He calls, you know, Hunter Wallace calls it moral cowardice on display at sites like RedState.com ensures that self-delusion will win the day for at least one more election cycle. Well, I don't think it will, because I think there's going to be a crash within a year or two, an economic collapse. They're talking about the fiscal cliff. Folks, what I see going on, essentially Obongo is essentially saying, pass the tax cut for the under $250,000, and essentially Republicans will do so. Right?
So I do agree that this country is headed for a collapse, and basically all the indicators are is that the dollar bill is dropping in value and that it's going to be worthless.
Well, all, you know, essentially all these money systems are collapsing. The euro is collapsing.
Yeah, the euro.
In Greece. I mean, all these, you know, I mean, what the saying is, America got the coal, but essentially, you know, Europe got AIDS financially. The Chinese are having a problem. From what I gather, and they're not buying any more treasury debt. Essentially, there is no place.
We're the biggest customer for Chinese goods. When we stop buying their shit, their economy is going to not be doing so good. But their whole goal was, as a dehydrated, as a communist slave state, their whole goal was to build up their military so they could conquer the world, mainly America first. And so, basically, if we stop buying their shit,
Logan, you need to slow down. I can't hear you, okay?
Well, my connection might be a little messed up.
All right.
Basically, okay, basically, we're a big consumer of Chinese goods. If we stop buying their stuff, that's what I said, Mark Machado.
Okay. Hunter Wallace says the third option is secession. We can seize power in the southern states, secede from the Union, and form our own nation state, the Republic of Dixie. In this scenario, we have a fighting chance to preserve our way of life, and there is already movement in this direction in Texas and the rest of Dixie. Well, that's pretty well the option that Hunter Wallace wants to go ahead and do, is secession.
Okay.
Now, the problem of it is how are you going to peacefully secede? Do you think the Jews are going to go ahead and let, you know, do you think Pharaoh Obongo is going to go ahead and let our people go?
No.
Okay. The fourth option is revolution. If our backs are firmly pressed against the wall, armed revolution might become the only realistic way to preserve our way of life. See the white man's revolution of 1876 in South Carolina. Well, folks, if you're going to end up having secession, you better be ready for civil war. You better be ready to go ahead and shoot not only Yankees and Jews, but Whigger traitors as well. You know, folks, you have this belief that there's going to be a soft despotism. And the answer is there really is no such thing. Once you end up having bodies hitting the ground, once you end up having shooting going on, how do you go back to the status quo ante? And the answer is you don't. The fifth option is emigration. We can move to some other country. And essentially, Hunter Wall says, don't make me laugh with suggestions of moving to the Pacific Northwest here. The same despotism that exists here can be found there as well. And essentially, he doesn't believe in the Butler plan. So what happens is that Hunter Wall says secession is our first choice. So he says we want to peacefully secede from the United States like Ukraine and Georgia seceded from the Soviet Union, or Czechoslovakia broke apart in the Velvet Divorce.
Yeah.
In Great Britain and Canada, Scotland and Quebec have been given referendums to secede. Puerto Rican recently had a referendum of joining the United States, and Catalonia will soon be holding a referendum on secession from Spain. Well, folks, I was in Catalonia. That's in that's in the southeast portion of Spain. Barcelona is their main city.
Okay.
In order to bring about this union, we are supportive. And folks, when I went ahead and visited the Lloret del Mar of Spain, I paid $100-some to go on a week's leave here. This was a tour, and I had a fine time in Spain here. I really did. I got to see the topless beaches. Anyway, going on here, and folks, topless beaches are a lot wonderful. I mean, the people whose tits you don't want to see are the tits you're going to see. The tits that you do want to see are the tits you ain't going to see, huh?
Most of the women that run around topless over in Europe are ugly, fat ass. See the best.
The tits you don't want to see, you'll see. Logan, I can't hear you. Slow down.
All this public nudity, all this pornography, all this homosexuality, all the race mixing, all the drug, sex, rock and roll, all the hippies and the free love, all that shit's on the Jews. I mean, that shit's been going on for the last 7,000 years since we were in the cave of trenches where the sons of Adam and Seth on down, some of their descendants went down off the mountain and mated with the Jewish women, the serpent, the Cain women. Come on, that's been going on for 7,000 years.
Okay. Joe Pennsylvania says, Martin, what part of the Bible did a captive Israelite nation take up arms and rebel? You had a civil war in the case of the Benjamites versus the rest of the Israelites, and pretty well the Benjamites got slaughtered, except for 600, fleet men here. Now, you had Benjamites in Parthia, Persia, and you had them scattered out through Europe as well here, but you had an Israelite civil war, in the Bible, in the Book of Judges. It was actually probably within 50 years of the conquest, as well here. And I did cover it in a show a couple of years ago here of this. Okay, where am I at here? Secession is the first choice here. In order to bring about, disunion, we are supportive of working within the system. By that we mean at the state level, and only within the South, and only exacerbate sectional polarization, galvanize our supporters, and advance the cause of secession with the ultimate objective in mind of calling a state convention in every southern state to vote on the dissolution of this union. Folks, I mean, Hunter is really, when it comes down to it, he's a Bama boy, an Alabama boy. I mean, they still haven't got over the fact that they lost in 1865, and they want to go ahead and have a second chance here. And I think Hunter, I think it's a good thing. I support Hunter going ahead and working on doing this and working on doing it peacefully. I don't think it's going to go ahead and succeed here. So going on, as he's saying, is that in the United States, we don't have a parliamentary system of government and couldn't hope to reproduce these results with a third party in the South. Well, no. I mean, it's not going to happen. But it might be possible for Southern whites to imitate and invert the racial and ideological solidarity of the blacks and Hispanics within the Democratic Party and form a Southern Nationalist Caucus within the Republican Party in the Southern state legislatures. Well, you can try. You know what I mean? The future of the Republican Party is unclear at this moment. Well, folks, the future of the Republican Party is as fucked. You know what I mean? For the last two election cycles. Actually, the last 20 years. Well, actually, the last 30 years, they've run nothing but establishment Republicans. The last time they went ahead and ran, actually somebody who had some different portion, you know, was old Ronald Reagan in 1980. He became an establishment Republican because he won. You know what I mean? Because he changed, he went ahead and changed the nature of the system. George Herbert Walker Hoover Bush was not essentially a counterinsurgent against the Republican Party. Was he? You know what I mean?
Right, well, sort of is.
Logan, I don't know what you... Logan, I can barely hear you. Okay. I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, yeah. When you need to talk, you need to talk slower. Okay? Oh, well, they say you need to call back and get a better connection.
Well, would you like me to hang up and call back again?
Why don't you go ahead and do that, and we'll take another break, okay?
Hell
victory.
Well, I don't know why the sky is blue and why the guns on a nigger, well, they're blue too. I don't pay attention to all that stuff, but I do know niggers suck. And I don't know why the world ain't flat and why the nose on a nigger is flat like that. I don't pay attention to all that stuff, but I do know niggers suck. Jigaboo's lips are thick, but I sure know that a nigger ain't worth a lick. And I don't know and don't want to know why a nigger ain't got no pride, but I know them coons are never, no, they're never satisfied. Well, I don't know why the rain comes down, I don't know why a nigger is black or brown. I don't pay attention to all that stuff, I do know niggers suck. I don't know why Jigaboo's hair has pink. I don't pay attention to all that stuff. I do know niggers suck. I don't know why night turns to day and why a nigger won't work to earn his way. I don't pay attention to all that stuff, but I do know niggers suck. I don't know and don't want to know why Jigaboo's lips are thick, but I sure know that a nigger ain't worth a lick. But I know them coons are never, no, they're never satisfied. I don't know why a nigger is kin to a knife. I don't know why spooks want to integrate. I don't pay attention to all that stuff, but I do know niggers suck. I do know niggers suck. Hey, I do know niggers suck.
Hello, Logan.
Yeah, I got a better connection for a little while, it looks like.
Okay. Well, I had a bad connection too, so essentially I called back in. So we both got fresh connections. Okay?
Well, basically what I was saying is about Reagan is that he was a better form of Republican than a lot of the candidates they put up lately. But George Bush, his vice president, was trying to control everything. And toward the end, Reagan was kind of losing his mind.
Yeah, he'll see now.
I mean, he was still a puppet of the Jews. He could only do so much. I mean, basically, the Jews have had so much power for so long. They controlled, well, what you had, the Federal Reserve since 1913.
Yep.
I mean, they tried to control the country from the very beginning. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Basically,
Okay. Well, getting on, Hunter Wallace says the strategy is Christianity and conservatism. Southern nationalists are mainstreamers. By that I mean our strategy is based on winning over our people to the cause of secession or closing the gap between the Southern nationalist vanguard and the white Southern masses until the need to secede from this despotic government becomes so obvious it is accepted as common sense. Now, Hunter makes a number of misunderstandings. He talks about the vanguard versus the mainstream. Now, he's talking about doing mainstream things, but he's talking about being a Southern vanguardist himself here. Now, VNNF here, supposedly Vanguard News Network, William Pierce went ahead and considered himself as National Vanguard to be the very cutting edge, the very front of anybody, you know, of anybody who is of the white resistance, of white nationalism. The truth of the matter is that Pierce was essentially an intellectual tard who was given $400,000 in order money, and the government knew about it, and they turned him into essentially a Zogbot, a traitor. And that's essentially what William Pierce was. He just ran an Elohim city for creators. That's exactly what the hell he did. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Whereas Pastor Butler, since when it came down to it, he wanted to go ahead and be a vanguard, and he didn't really advocate violence so much. Butler didn't get any of the ordered money. So as a result, well, the order of, you know, it, of course, Butler was infiltrated toward the end of his life here quite a bit by,
Didn't you tell me that not only William Pierce, but didn't Dan Gaiman get to the, he didn't get a word?
He got money too. He got money too, and he got caught, and he testified against the people of the order. You know what I mean? Dan Gaiman snitched. You know what I mean? Traitor Glenn Miller snitched. I mean, you know, hey, you gotta laugh.
I talked to Dan Gaiman once or twice on the phone, and I didn't think much of him at all. I talked to him. He was just.
Well, see, throughout this time in the movement, you've always had the Jews and the media try to determine who is the leader of dual seedline Christian identity. And in the 2000-2001, they tried to make Dan Gaiman, you know, the leader, you know, try to go ahead and make, oh, Dan Gaiman is so smart, he's so intellectually smart, he's so this and so that. And in reality, he is just nothing more than a reformed or reorganized Mormon from, what, Independence, Missouri, who essentially tried to steal from his own brother and who took money and got caught and then snitched against people in the order. Dan Gaiman didn't really have any real, you know, didn't really have any real people following him except for Eric Rudolph. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. And it's because he had Eric Rudolph going ahead and following him. Well, Eric Rudolph had a homosexual brother. You know what I mean? So, so you end up having, you know, I mean, I'm not saying anything bad against Eric Rudolph.
Eric Rudolph, when he got caught in Murphy, North Carolina, arrested, his whole family, including his mom, they came out in the news. I read the article, and she came out and said, well, we were taught the identity message, but it's all hate and hogwash, and we don't want to have nothing to do with those dual seed line or racist people. We don't believe that no more. That's what the mama said. So basically,
well, that's,
yeah,
you know, that's some of what I said. I mean, Dan Gaiman was not trusted ever since 1987, 88, when he did testify against Beam and Butler and a few other people. You know, he took the money, got caught, and the only difference is how much money he got. Some say 10, some say 12, some say as much as 25,000. But essentially got caught, he gave the money back, and essentially he snitched, you know, in order to stay out of prison. And folks, people around here know that. You know, it's well known. I mean, Traitor Glenn Miller, he got, you know, according to Traitor Glenn Miller, $200,000. According to Catch a Lane, $250,000, $250,000. And Pierce got $400,000. And, no, I mean, hey, all these people, essentially they got this money, which, I mean, it's against the law to take stolen money. You know what I mean? And so these people were threatened with prison, and William Pierce went ahead. He was just a big snitch. You know what I mean? He was just simply, you know, that's why I sort of have some respect for Greg Johnson. Greg Johnson is trying to work an intellectual, you know, book and trinket sell, you know, selling operation, and essentially he doesn't have ordered money to go ahead and pay for it. You understand what I mean? He's got to go ahead and actually, he's actually got.
Greg Johnson, I mean, I've seen his picture in his show. I haven't listened to his show, but when he was on The Voice of Retards, I just saw that he was one of the people. The only person on The Voice of Retards I even listened to was Carolyn Yeager, because I liked her topic subjects at the time.
Yeah. Wow, old well, Carolyn. I call her Carolyn Yenta because.
Other than that, I mean, I listened to Jamie Kelso one time, and I didn't like his show at all.
Yeah, he the critter even sounds like a faggot, old Jamie Kelso does, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I have a sock puppet or two on Wigger News Now, but shit, it's just such stupid shit. It's just such stupid. It's worse than Stormfront. It's just such stupid, bland shit. That, you know, essentially, it's not even worth looking at. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, I may have ended up having them sock puppets deleted. But, essentially, Hunter is actually working. The thing about it is, you know, Hunter's problem is that he thinks that Alex Linder is a white nationalist. You know, he's not. He's really just a little Jew boy. He's running a Zog Fall Front Tard Corral and data mining operation. I mean, Linder is not really a white nationalist. He pretends to be. He pretends that, him and his little atheism here. I mean, he's essentially as much of a Jew as Paul Dembski and, Howard Stern. I'm not a Jew. I'm an atheist. You know what I mean? That's what Dembski told me after he went ahead and gave a Facebook link to Peerless Goodmanser. I'm not, you know, I've never hid that I'm a Jew, but I'm not really a Jew. I'm an atheist.
Dembski admitted in my chat room or your chat room, he admitted he grew up a Jew, but he didn't practice it anymore.
That's right. He's not a Jew no more. He's an atheist.
Yeah.
Well, same way with Linder. He ain't a Jew no more. He's an atheist. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, that's why the joke is.
Yeah.
You know, Greg Johnson can repent of being a homosexual, but Alex Linder, he can't repent of being a Jew. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. I mean, basically... he's got the confusion of face, he's got the messed up DNA, and, you know, that can't be corrected. I mean, if you've got pure white DNA and you're an Aryan, you can repent of being a sinner, but you can't repent of being a Jew, you know?
Right, you know what I mean? You can repent of being a sinner. You can repent, you know, I'm looking at this stupid commercial where you have this Wigress who essentially was sucking up to a nigger here, and I've seen this TV show. It was some show here where you had some, you know, Wigress who was going ahead and sucking face with some nigger. You know what I mean? He was a high yellow, but he's still a nigger. You know what I mean? You see stupid shit like that. So I went ahead and turned it to the news, you know, to go ahead and see what was going on. But in any case, here you have he's going on to say. You know, in this area, we're counting on the fecklessness of Conservative Inc., the failure of the Tea Party to take back America, the impotence of the national GOP, and the triumphalism of who breathes of the minority majority and their cheerleaders in the mainstream media to disillusion and alienate the average white Southern male and hereby sow the, you know, seeds of disunion. Well, folks, someone who's gone ahead and been in these, you know, third political parties, you know, like the Reform or the, you know, it used to be the USTP, you know, the Constitution Party used to be the USTP, United States Taxpayers Party. It was founded by a Jew named Howard Phillips, who had some sort of office in Ronald Reagan's whatever here. It was founded by an Eastern, you know, an Eastern European Jew. You know what I mean? It was founded by a Jew boy. You know what I mean? And hell, you gotta wonder if it's founded by a Jew boy from Eastern Europe, how can he run for president if they're so big on the Constitution? The Constitution says it has to be natural born citizens. I've gone ahead and seen these patriotards. I've gone to their little meetings. I've gone ahead and seen them selling their trinkets. I call them camp followers or patriots, P-A-Y-T-R-I-D-I-O-T-S. I've seen these characters. And essentially, you'll always have, just like fly shit and sugar, you'll always have about two or three token niggers that they go ahead and that they're going ass to mouth with in order to prove, we're not racist.
Yeah.
You know, you see the stupid shit all the time here. We're not racist. And they, you know, I mean, a wigger who goes ahead and, you know, doesn't believe he's racist, it doesn't go ahead and understand his true beliefs or his true feelings. I mean, essentially it's a wigger that essentially lies to itself. He, you know, a wigger lies to himself and thus he lies to you, and he thinks that he's so smart. You know what I mean? And he's not. You know what I mean? But going on, we are under no illusion that the South is going to cease to be Christian and conservative and embrace white nationalism after, you know, rejecting the values it has held for almost four centuries. I mean, essentially, Hunter's problem is that he believes that Alex Linder is a white nationalist. Now, he understands that Alex Linder is an atheist, and in the last, you know, debate, essentially, you know, Hunter Wallace asked, you know, him to go ahead and prove that God doesn't exist. And essentially, Linder didn't have any intellectual, you know, didn't have any intellectual grounding to prove that one way or the other. And so Linder went ahead and begged off of doing that. But Hunter Wallace believes that Alex Linder is a, quote, white nationalist. No, he's just some little Jew boy. He's some little Jew boy who got wet, California Jew boy, who got resurrected. He hates
a California Jew boy just like Jeremy Visser.
Yeah, he got resurrected. He got resurrected by Pierce to go ahead and run a web page, essentially with Order Zogbucks here. And folks, if I had to play, I went ahead and made a parody song called the 666 Zogbucks Bionic Ass Clown. And essentially, I go ahead and imitate William Pearson, you know, Alex Linder, Greedo Weasel, you know, a Mamzer, a Jew boy barely sleazing. Zogbots, we can rebuild it. We have the Order Zogbucks. We will make it anal, vulgar, ass clown. It pretty well, it was a takeoff of the $6 million man.
Yeah.
But this was the 666 Zogbucks, you know, bionic ass clown here. Alex Linder will be that ass clown. You know what I mean? I mean, that, you know, that's all Linder is. He's just some little Jew boy tard who hung around American Spectator. I mean, folks, he wasn't even on the freaking masthead, I bet. You know what I mean? He probably got caught lying and sleazing and being an obnoxious little Jew boy, so they booted his ass here because he wasn't a Holaki Jew. And here he is laying with the beginnings of Crohn's, bulging out his asshole, sort of like Commandor McFag. By the way, Commandor McFag, he wasn't on Dan John's Wednesday night show here. Well, Frankenwigger and Joe Pennsylvania can vouch for that here. They thought it was hilarious here. They didn't really miss the, you know. And what happens, didn't even need to do it. Dan Johns didn't call him a Pictish Mamzer. He just refused to get on Eli James for saying that, you know, the Picts were what? Dwarven Amorites? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have one of these tards over on VNNF here. They call him Akins, and a bunch of them call him Fakins. This character looks like a pinched-nosed little kike here. And the reason he looks like a kike is he claims to be Scottish, and he's just a little pick. He's just a little tubalcanite mamzer, you know, cork-eyed mamzer here, a little pinched nose here, pretending to be an atheist Puritan, you know, Jew boy. I mean, that's all he is. He's just what he is. and you have these characters, and then you have another one, Jimmy.
Hey, is he okay? Does he still hang out with people like McBride?
No, I don't think so. I mean, what happens is about a year, you know, this has been about a year and a half. Essentially, McBragg went ahead and he took over and he censored Annie Donner because Annie Donner said Brian Real ain't white. And essentially, we were going to go ahead and make old McBragg answer for this, but the guy who actually ran that for him at the time, he ran off here. He disappeared. So it became a moot point. And essentially, you know, I don't know, if I had to go ahead and tell Covington anything, I'd say, hey, look, this character, you know, I would not be surprised if, you know, I've heard that in a chat room, he said that essentially if his thick wife gets kicked out of her job with the Washington State government, that he would go ahead and go postal. You know what I mean? So you don't want, I mean, Covington and Axel Sally got a bunch of shit, you know, earlier this year when old JT Reddy went postal, and essentially they all thank Mike John, this here red, you know, part nigger, red nigger Mamzer, who essentially snitched him out to Facebook and got, you know, Covington and his group, you know, pulled off of Facebook. Because, you know, 2 months later, old JT Reddy, you know, this worthless mooch, you know, quarter Jew ass clown, went ahead and went all postal when essentially his mud shark girlfriend, you know, called the pigs for the second time that day, and, you know, he went, "Butch, you fucked up." Bang! Oh! And you go ahead and you sort of hear a yelp, and then, you know, I mean, hey. And, I mean, I was not surprised. I was hearing, "Those Mexican drug cartels there." Come on now. Come on. JT Reddy is a piece of shit. What happens is that the damn pigs knew he was there. He'd already gone ahead and screwed up this other tard named Jeffrey Harbin of the NSM, and he got 5 years for having some illegal weapons. And essentially, that's exactly what happened here. I mean, within 20 minutes of the pigs getting the call here, they came out, you know, once another neighbor said, "I see two bodies there, and one of them is JT Reddy, and the other is this wigger who's hanging around this, you know, this beater girl here." I mean, essentially, once they knew the bastards were dead, they came out, and within 20 minutes, they called the FBI, probably first thing ever, and they backed up a deuce and a half or something, and they loaded up all the, quote, illegal weapons, except for a couple grenades, you know, to go ahead and, you know, justify them coming out. And essentially, they gave him the guns to essentially roll up these tards. You know what I mean? How does a character who hasn't had a job for 6 months, who got fired from the AutoZone, how does he afford a couple thousand dollar, you know, you know, carbine or something like that? You know, I went over to Walmart, essentially, they were selling one of these M4 carbine things here, you know, knockoffs. I mean, essentially, it's a shortened M16 here, and I thought they were pieces of shit. None of them fired worth a damn, you know, when I was in the Army. And essentially, they were wanting $1,074 for one. You know what I mean?
Now, basically, when you were associated with the militias, was the SKS the number? Like, if you didn't have
a... It was the number one. I mean, hell, you know, when I first got in there, hell, you could buy them for $65. You could buy a 22 rifle. You could maybe get a 22 rifle for $70-$75. A 22 rifle. You could buy a fucking center fire, semi-automatic, chink made SKS. For $65. You could buy...
But an AK-47 usually runs a lot more than an SKS. I mean, a lot more money.
Well, yes. Because, you know, yes, an AK-47 ran more than... You know, you could buy them... I remember you could buy them in 1993 and 1994 for what? Oh, $65. And $85 for the pretty-looking ones. The ugly-looking ones with the orange paint, they were used Chinese military surplus, and actually they were better guns than the $85 ones. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they were actually issued out here. Now, they had ugly looking wood, and they had some orange paint on them here, but you can buy them. You know, I mean, hell, you can buy them. It's, you know, Steve's Trading Post for $65, as many as you wanted them here. There was one guy who bought he bought 60 of them. You know, we joked that he was from Kansas. We joked he was making his own private army. He bought them for $65. He knew that there was no way that they were going to go ahead and get more expensive. He bought 60 of them. You know, I bought a couple of them. You know what I mean? But you gotta understand, $65. Hell, you could buy 22 for $65. You know what I mean?
This is a good deer rifle, a good self defense.
Oh, it got an SKS got the same muzzle velocity as a 30-30, Winchester. And essentially, here in Southwest Missouri,
an SKS with a longer barrel will shoot harder. And
No. A SKS, firing this, hard lead core steel bullet, TIG made.
Listen to me. An SKS will shoot a little bit farther and more accurate than an AK-47, but an AK-47 is more compact and overall a better gun because an AK-47 can be set to full auto, and also usually. It's more of an assault rifle. I mean,
The Chinese, as they look at it, same way the British do. I mean, essentially, you're not given an automatic, fully automatic weapon unless you are a machine gunner. You know what I mean? Now, there are ways of going ahead and doing some gunsmithing to where you can make an SKS full auto if you want. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, the fact of the matter is that the civilian version of the AK-47, a Mac 190, costs a minimum of about $190 to $250. An SKS costs $65. You know what I mean? So what the fuck are you going to buy for people who've never had a freaking gun? The answer is you'll buy a bunch of these SKSs here. I mean, you can go ahead and use them as they were issued in Missouri. And, you're not allowed to go ahead and use that, Norinco, quasi-steel core shit. You gotta go ahead and use Remington or whatever, soft tip bullets here for deer hunting. But essentially, if you go ahead and use the factory Remington, you'll have about a 3-inch group at 100 yards. There's not a whole awful lot of 100-yard shots here in Southwest Missouri. You got so much damn brush, you're not going to have 100-yard shots. Most of your shots are about 50 yards.
I agree, Mark.
I mean, hell, you go ahead, you set the thing to shoot. You set the thing to go ahead and shoot at 25 yards. It'll go ahead and hit still, if it hits dead on at 25 yards, it'll hit dead on at 100 yards. You know what I mean? That's about the way it is here. But after 100 yards, I mean, the bullet will go, it's only about, it's a 4-inch group. You know what I mean? Using the chink ammo, using the chink gun. Now, if you go ahead and use the factory rounds, which are a little bit more precise, you can go ahead and maybe, if you really hand load, you can maybe get down to what? About 2-inch, But it's not a minute of angle gun. It's not meant to be a minute of angle gun. You know what I mean? But it got the same muzzle velocity as a 30-30. I mean, it's good enough. You know what I mean?
I would much rather have it in a 30-30 because the ammo's cheaper, and it's also, it accepts high-capacity magazines. A 30-30...
Well, you don't want to use that for deer hunting. You're only allowed to have what usually got set was a 10, was a 10 round.
Yes, you can see it. I mean, they got a five-shot max or a magazine or a 30-30-shot magazine. It's more versatile than a lever action 30-30.
Well, it's cheaper too. Lever action 30-30 costs around $200-$250. You know what I mean? Whereas an SKS here, you pay $65 for it, and heck, they used to go ahead and joke you can leave the gun out in the woods, don't even bother taking it home with you. You didn't want to clean it. So, yeah, I mean, heck, you know, it's, yeah, it's a good enough gun here, and that's what most of the militia people use. Now, I had an M1 Garand that I preferred, but it fires 30-06 rounds here, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, far more accurate, and that I preferred to go ahead and carry it, but I had, I mean, hell, $65 for a gun, I wish I'd gone ahead and bought 5 or 10 of them, you know what I mean? Because now they're, what, $300-$400 now? You know what I mean?
So, I mean, all the SKS's I bought, I never bought for about $150, $200. I never did buy one for $60.
Well, they got more expensive. The last ones I bought, you know, cost, what, $100? But they had molybdenum chrome barrels here. What happens is the Clinton shut down, you know, after they sent about 4 million of them into the country, Clinton went ahead and shut them down. So then they went ahead and dug out the Russian ones that they, you know, that the SKS, it was actually the SKS was called the Simonov. You know, it was the one that they developed just before they developed the AK-47. And they had a whole bunch of storage in Russia. So they sent a whole bunch of Russian ones as, quote, Russian, as historical whatever here, historical rifles, whatever. So they went ahead and bought in about a million or a half million or so of them. But they cost more money, you know, and they weren't that much better than the Chink ones, you know what I mean? The Chinks use SKSs for their soldiers. So they're perfectly acceptable for spraying and praying and, you know, but not as much as an AK-47 here. And AK-47 is a heck of an assault rifle, you know what I mean?
I wish I had one. I don't have an AK-47, but...
Well, I don't either. Yeah, I wasn't going to pay $300 for one.
Last person I talked to had one for sale, one like $1,500 or...
Yeah, they want a hell of a price for one here. You know, the other one I wish I'd gone ahead and bought was one of them French MAS, you know, MAS-47s that were chambered up from 7.7 LaBelle to 308 Winchester. Now, that would be the same as having an M14. I wish I'd bought me a couple of them. They sold them for $200. I wish I'd bought me one of them, too. You know what I mean?
But
30-06 is a lot more powerful round. You know what I mean?
It's supposed to have a little more powder.
It has a lot more powder.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot more powder. I mean, you know, it got what? Several times the kick of a 308. You know,
Hey, let me ask you something. If you got a good rifle with a scope and you're a pretty good shot, 30-06 is what, 800 yards out and you hit something?
Oh, you can hit up to about 1,000 or so, but you can hit it with 308 the same way. You can go ahead and hit it up to about 1,200. But you gotta understand is that, you know, the longest police shot, sniper shot, has been 200 yards. This is sort of military shit, and, you know, you're going ahead and hearing about all this sort of thing, and, you know, I don't know. It's just, a lot of it is, you know, a lot of horseshit you're hearing, you know, you're hearing in the news or something like that here. But any case, you know, hell, I don't have any really expensive guns, you know what I mean? I mean, the one that anybody should have got here if they wanted to go to Walmart was to buy that Savage 12-gauge tactical shotgun with 18.5-inch barrel, you know, and a pistol grip. That was a kick-ass barrel to buy for $160-some. You know what I mean? That was the thing to buy.
Yeah.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
Anyway, getting on with it here.
Hey, listen, it's getting late. Is anybody else going to call in? Because I'm probably going to go sleep a little bit. But
let's go ahead and talk about your radio show tomorrow. You going to go ahead and continue with the Cave of Treasures?
Yeah, I'm going to try to continue the Cave of Treasures.
Did you get my email about downloading that free Kindle book called Enoch?
I downloaded it. I haven't read it all yet, but it looks like a good book.
Well, yeah, what happens is that I got a Kindle, and essentially I go to Weber, You know, what I go to WeberBooks.com, and essentially what they have is they tell me about 15 books that are for free. What happens if you go ahead and you write on Amazon.com, if you go ahead and take their Kindle Select program, what happens every 90 days, you have to go ahead and 5 days you have to give away your book for free. You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have to go ahead and give your book away for free, and you got to go ahead and offer it on the Kindle Lending Library. And I had Enoch, I had that particular book as my Kindle selection for this month, but hey, what happens, I went ahead and then immediately turned it in, got a different book, and then I downloaded the Enoch, because I downloaded the Noah book. And folks, if you like Stephen J. Cannell and 18 type fiction here, it's interesting, but what I like it for is for the appendix. It'll go ahead and essentially it's about these watchers, and it's about these demons. It's about these demons and their little giant brethren here. And essentially it takes, you know, quotes from the Book of Enoch and the Book of Jubilees and the Book of Jasher and pretty well all this stuff here. And he just got out one called Gilgamesh, and that's not going to be too biblical, but folks, he's going to have 6 books leading from the time of Moses and the conquest of Canaan to the time of David, when the last of the giants were essentially killed off in the time of giants, in time of David. And pretty well what he does is that in order to justify his fiction, he publishes one hell of a bibliography and an index or, you know, an appendix. And usually the appendix is about a quarter to a third of the book. And essentially, if you like reading the thing here, I mean, in Enoch, Primeval or Primordial, he had Cain as a vampire, you know what I mean? Cain got cursed here, and essentially he became a vampire, and his wife and his children became a bunch of werewolves, except, you know, in Noah, in the Book of Noah, what happens is that Noah was fighting side by side with Tubal-Cain and Jasher, and so was Methuselah, which was a bunch of horse shit, you know what I mean, because there was enmity between the tribe of Cain and, the seed of Seth here. But in any case, you know, I mean, I'm not arguing that you should, read it for its fiction. You should go ahead and download the free book for the value of its appendix. You know what I mean? And you don't have to agree with the author, but he had one heck of a pretty good appendix. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm going to read it. I mean, basically, any of the lost books that are free, or even if I can buy them, I'm going to try to read them. Like I said, some of them have been, you know, if there's more than one version or whatever, there might be adulterated, or there might be a phony copy out there. But
well, that's pretty well what I was talking to Pastor John Britton. He was talking about how essentially Satan, Adam screwed old Lilith, and Lilith wasn't Satan's daughter. Lilith was Satan's granddaughter. And I said, so you sent the angels, so you said,
that was bullshit. I don't believe that, because the thing is, Eve was the first and only wife of Adam. The Jews put that shit out there.
That's pretty well what John, Pastor John Britton said. He said, the problem of it is, though, is if you go ahead and look at that.
I've had identity people bring that shit to me about Lilith.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that's not the lost books. That's not in any of the scriptures.
Well, it is in the scriptures that Lilith was mentioned. Lilith was mentioned as being an unclean.
He got that shit, and some other identity people got that shit from Jewish writings.
Well, that's what John Britton said was the problem. He says that where it comes from is what perversions the Jews have gone ahead and worked on the original manuscripts, to where they come up and they have their Kabbalah, and they end up having, you know, their Jew shit.
Yeah,
the problem is that if you go ahead and get into it, you're having to take a Jew's word for something, and that's not, so John Britton didn't really want to go into it, but essentially there is some belief that some of these angels had dicks and pussies, and they squeezed out, you know, offspring, you know, who were sexually divided, and essentially Yahweh didn't make these angels. They, you know, and, you know, this is a little bit far-fetched, you know what I mean? And to be honest with you, I don't really like going there at all. That's why, you know, well, you know, Tuesday night, I went ahead and managed to find the full sermon of what happened to Cain. You know what I mean? And pretty well managed to go ahead and get that thing up in about a half hour. I'm going to have to work on it a little bit. I prefer the Comparean view because essentially the Comparean view is the simplest. And what's the simplest explanation is usually the correct one. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. So,
Well, now, hey, look. I've been listening to Comparean stuff, keeping an archive of them. And, Tom Parade for his day with the knowledge he had with what he had to work with, a lot of his stuff is correct. I mean, if he was wrong on something, he didn't.
Well,
you know,
he worried too much about the Russians and communism here. But that was, you know, that was the late 60s here. And to be honest with you, I mean, essentially the Jews set up Bolshevik Russia. You know what I mean? They were a bunch of Jew communists. You know what I mean? So they were a bunch of Jews.
And one communist the whole world.
Yeah, and then what happens is that they pretty well looted the people of Russia. So here, then all the Jews, they want to come to America. They want to go to Israel. You know, and then you have stupid Uyghurs. You know, I mean, I remember talking to some stupid Uyghurs around 2000. Oh, I'm being a good Christian. There's this charity called Wings of Eagles to where we give money for poor little Jews to emigrate from Russia to Israel. You know, how much should I get you for?
Basically, Mark, the Jews, communism is Jewish, and basically it's anti-Yahweh.
Well, so is Khazar.
It's totally satanic, and basically...
Yeah. Khazar capitalism.
They want to destroy all races, destroy all godly morality, and they want to have all the money and power, and they want to make a Mongol brown-skinned slave race to do all their work, and maybe they'll have some cloning to keep some pretty white women around for sex toys. But basically, they wanted to take over the whole world and communism. You know, now they got the New World Order, but it's basically the same Jews running everything.
Yeah, well, and...
Holly Biddy is like Al Jones. They will tell you that the Illuminati and Bush and the Rothschild, that they're Nazis. Bullshit, the Nazis fought the communists, and Bush and all them and the Rothschild are part...
Well, they're Alex Linder's I call them Alex Tenite.
I just want to continue the argument, and they will tell you the good guys are really the bad guys. The Germans
yeah.
are the bad guys.
Oh, yeah. Well, I call them Alex, you know, Linder's bunch of Jews. I call Alex Kenite Nazis. You know what I mean? You know, short for, you know, Ashkenazi, you know, the Ashkenazi Defecation League or the ADL. Right, over on Linder, he's been whining like a pussy about what a big liar I am here. Old Visser was calling me a child molester the entire time here, and he was whining like a pussy about slander. And, let's see. Linder was calling me a child molester. They figured out they couldn't really whine like a pussy about me being a big liar if he was being a big liar himself. So now he calls me Malignant Marty. But any case here, old Corn Cob, he was, you know, I mean, I was sort of laughing with Pastor John Britton the other day to where old Corn Cob, he's able to get close to these Jews because, you know, they think he's one of them until he opens his mouth, and then they think he's, you know, sort of screwed up, and they run off all of a sudden here. If you go ahead and look at his videos.
Well, acts like a Jew, or they think he's a Jew, or what?
Well, I mean, I've gone ahead in his Kingston rally. You have a little Corn Cob, and here he is. He has his little Jew fro. He looks like a total tard. He looks like you're a Jew or a liberal, stupid liberal wigger. And then he goes ahead, he gets real close to these Jews, and he opens his mouth, "You evil fucking Jews." And then they go ahead and they look at each other and they think, "Danger, swell Kikus, in danger," and they run off here. But he gets real close to them because they think he's one of them or a glib old wigger or something here. So essentially they think the old corn cob is one of them, and he gets real close, and then he goes ahead and opens his mouth, and then they think he's a podkike. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen Invasion of the Body Snatchers. You know what I mean? Well, heck, he looks like Invasion of the, you know, of the, he looks like and acts like a podkike till he opens his mouth here screaming about Jews here. See, the thing about creatards is that it was made up by a freaking, you know, self-loathing Jew named Betty Klassen. And essentially he went ahead and turned the worship of Jews for their own 6 million. He went ahead and turned it into, you know, self-worship of, well, Anglo-Mestizos and Mamzers is what he did here. Why, it's not really worship of God, it's a worship of yourself as a member of this particular race. Well, folks, that's what a self-loathing Jew went ahead and made up here. And essentially these creatards are, well, they're just creatarded. You know what I mean? So, any case here, you know, that's pretty well what's going on. So tomorrow you're going to go ahead and finish up on Cave of Treasures, right?
Yeah, I'm going to try to, I don't know if I'll finish the whole book, but I'm going to continue reading. And if you want to call in, you know, we can
do. Yeah, I'll call in. I probably finally have some work to do on Friday here, so I might be a little bit late here, but.
That's fine. I'll get started at 8 o'clock Eastern, and you can call in whenever you want. I usually go for 5 hours.
Okay.
And, that's great. And basically,
I went ahead and talked to Pastor.
Something that we were talking about tonight, but I might have forgot it. But it's okay. We'll talk about it tomorrow.
Okay.
But anyway,
I did talk to Pastor John Britton. He said, "Yeah, old Yahweh went ahead and cursed old Solomon's nuts because, you know, he was going ahead and screwing all these Mamzeruses and these Edomites and these, you know, these other, you know, mongrels here and Jews, but he was also going ahead and worshiping their strange gods." And essentially, Yahweh told Solomon that just for that here, he was not going to go ahead and have any, you know, any male children except for his successor Rehoboam, the Queen of Sheba's male kid, because, hey, you know, Ethiopia was, well, about 600 miles or so away, and therefore it didn't really matter, and some Greek slave woman, you know what I mean? You know, after that...
Is John Britton listen to my show or your show or what?
Oh, occasionally he might listen here, I don't know.
I mean, he sent me an email once or twice, but I don't have a lot of contact with him. I mean, he just email on the Third Reich some Nazi stuff, because I guess he knew.
Well, he don't get on the internet. He pretty well pulled off from the internet March of 2011 because Brian Real was really screwing him up. You know, I mean, Brian Rio and his little lawyer cousin Ray was screwing him up pretty badly. So essentially,
the thing is, basically, he's got a family and he's got a respective work.
Well, he got family, he got a job.
He
has his own people he has to look after. You know what I mean?
If some asshole like me threatens me, I could give a shit less. Because right now I don't have any really anybody else but myself and Yahweh.
Yeah.
I'll be on the show tomorrow about 8 o'clock Eastern. I'll send out an email tomorrow. And it's been a good show. And anyway, as far as Hunter Wallace goes, I think it's good that
he's nice enough here. He's sort of finding his own thing. You know, the mistake he's making is that Alex Winter is a white nationalist. You know, Alex Winter is just a lying Jew boy, you know, Jew Afghades who essentially hates
him and Jim Giles both glyphosate Linder's okay or a white guy.
Oh, well, what happens to Jim Giles, he has a man crush on Linder, but he got all mad at Linder and canceled the interview, and then what happens is that, I guess, last night or this morning, he went ahead and woke up, and his blue tick, you know, nose was in a different direction. So now his nose is somewhere else here, and I guess maybe stuck back up on Linder's ass. So they're going to have a debate. But then again, with Jim Giles, heck, you know, he might get pissed off tomorrow and cancel it again or whatever. You can't rely on him here because essentially, you know, I call him a roid rage retard. I mean, he's just an idiot. I mean, you know, if he had sense, he would do what he's good at. He would go ahead and essentially be the Dick Cavett of white nationalism. He'd go ahead and do an interview. I mean, you know, mentally he's 12 years old on a good day. You know what I mean? But he, you know, but just like a nigger, I don't know if you ever seen a nigger. You know, a nigger can be glib here, especially when he's trying to get white pussy. But essentially, when it comes down to it, a nigger, you know, well, the same way with Visser. Visser can be glib. Visser can be, you know, superficially clever. But essentially, all Visser does is just lie and lie and lie and lie and lie. And you go ahead and you get to where you hear these lies, and you know, you don't have no more interest in Visser. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I was listening to the Pisser Possum thing here, although I took a break to watch Survivor last night, and then I, then I went ahead and trolled Dan Johns a little bit here, but, you know, my greatest joy and pleasure trolling Dan Johns is pissing off McFag left, you know, a week and a half ago, so, you know, a week and a day ago here, he's mad at Dan Johns for not getting on the UIJs for calling, you know, him a Pictish, you know, tubal canite, whatever here. And I guess there's much rejoicing on the part of, Frankenweir. He never did like, you know, Commandor McFag, Steve Elder, Ceramic Metal Bowl or whatever. You know, Ceramic White Bowl, Ceramic Quigger Bowl. I forget what the hell his other names was here. He sometimes was Watcher, Gorilla Watcher in the Mist here, sometimes too here. But anyway, he never, you know, Frank Wigger never did much care for Commandor McFag, and I think Joe Pennsylvania found him sort of, well, weird. But, poor McFag, I mean, if I had to tell Harold Covington anything, I mean, you need to have space between you and McFag, for at least a couple months before he goes postal. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Hold on, does Harold Covington believe that he's a Jew or Mongol? What does he believe, Harold Covington?
Oh, Steve Elder? Oh, Harold Covington, what happens is he came up with the last, number five, and heck, I was going ahead and downloading the link he had to this thing, and all I could get was download iLivin. So I downloaded iLivin. I can't go ahead and get the sumbitch to work here. I can't get the download. So I went ahead and called up Annie Donner because he's the, Seattle director of whatever up there. I said, hey, you were on the reading, you know, committee. You got the last PDF. Just send the freaking PDF to me on my email, and I'll go ahead and put it up on mamsers.org. That way you won't have to dick with it. You know what I mean? You know, I got, what, 150 gigabytes? I mean, this is, what, a fraction of a percent? I'll just go ahead and open up a Covington/novels directory and put it, you know, because Covington said is that, hey, I want everybody to see it here. So I'll just go ahead and put it on mamsers.org and, you know, heck, if you want to download the stupid thing, you can. The thing about it is, though, is that when you end up, you know, I know pretty well exactly who is on whitenationalist.org because it has a cPanel. You know, the mamsers.org is from some place which doesn't really, I mean, essentially what it is, it's mainly meant for bulk files, you know what I mean? So it had, you know, I mean, it doesn't have cPanel, so I don't even count how many people are downloading stuff here. I have no freaking idea. I mean, last week talked to, usually when I go ahead and do a show, it'll have about 100-some downloads here. And then I go ahead and if I re-engineer it or it stays there for a while, it'll creep up by about another 200-some downloads. I mean, what happens last week has 270, 280 freaking downloads. I don't know why it has so many damn downloads. I hope it ain't because the FBI is, Papa Cat, I hope it ain't because the FBI has heard something, they want to throw me in jail for. But in any case, yeah, a whole bunch of them here. But I don't keep track of, I go ahead and re-engineer it. I have no idea, how many people go ahead and download what over on Mamsers.org, because it doesn't have an easy, to file, cPanel or something like that, because it's just bulk. It's just bulk web hosting. So I just went ahead and downloaded Freedom Sun. I went ahead and uploaded it to there. And, well, I went ahead and created, put my Harold Covington sock puppet to go ahead and do that. Then I mailed off Covington. And Covington says, well, I don't think Martin Lindstedt has cooties here. Well, the answer is I don't have cooties, but I do have fleas every so often. That little black bastard of mine here, Beelzebub, I mean, heck, he, it doesn't matter. I mean, I can have a bath, Roxy can have a bath, we can go ahead and wash the sheets. We do Beelzebub last here. His mouth gets all wet here because he knows what's coming. You know what I mean? He hates baths here. He's just like a nigger. And, he got blue gums like a nigger too. But anyway, his little mouth gets all wet here and he'll go ahead and he'll get a flea bath here. He'll just have a Zyklon, B fest here. We'll just go ahead and wash him with the flea shampoo and the Dawn dishwashing liquid. Little bastard will go ahead and get all, we'll go ahead and kill about a couple dozen fleas and the little bastard will crawl underneath the waterbed, where we can't get him, and he'll go ahead and withdraw a few fleas from the flea bank, I guess, here. And what happens is every so often, I'm reading my Kindle, and the white light's there, and these dang fleas will go ahead and jump on them, and I'll pop them, with my fingernail. You know what I mean? So I don't have no cooties, but I do on occasion have fleas from that little black bastard of mine. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
They're not catchy. They're not catchy. Anyway. So,
okay, Mark, listen, I think I'm going to let you go. It's been a good show, and I'll send an email out on my show tomorrow, and talk Eastern.
Okay, well, I'll just see you tomorrow then. Talk to you later then. Hail Victory.
Hail Victory.
So, folks, we'll go ahead and take a break here, and it's probably going to be about a 5-minute break, and we'll be back. Hail Victory.
Those were the days, my friend, we thought they'd never end.
Okay, folks, we're back here. I'm looking at the very end. Hunter Wallace went ahead and added to his article. He went ahead and, you know, he pointed out is that the South is Christian, or at least supposedly Christian by nature. Now, folks, I don't consider it really Christian. I consider it more Christian Zionist or, bell priest Zionist. I don't have too much use for that sort of notion here. But, folks, he goes ahead and, you know, Hunter Wallace points out that as white Southerners lose power at the national level, they will seek to take over what they can control. And, Carroll Kempcha's novels went ahead and pointed out that there are going to be some places, like the Dakotas, like parts of Montana, and a number of these places, which are going to remain white. And the reason of it is that, I don't know, if you've been raised in places like West River, South Dakota, or even East River, South Dakota, you like those places here. And pretty well, I mean, heck, I swelter in Missouri heat. I do not really like places like Alabama or Mississippi, except during this time of year when it's cool. About as good as it ever gets here in November, December, January, February, March, and it starts going downhill in April. I mean, folks, I was raised in in central South Dakota. Born and raised in central South Dakota. And I tend to like places like that, although the Black Hills is very, very, very nice. But in any case, you'll probably have some white areas that will remain mainly white. Hunter Wallace was trying to go ahead and say, no, the South is what is going to rise again. Well, folks, I believe Hunter Wallace is right, is that you are going to have secession. Now, you're not going to have, I believe, when it comes down to it, Obongo is not going to let the white man go. He's not going to let us go any more than a whiter pharaoh of Egypt 3,500 some years ago wanted to let us go either, because we made pretty good slaves. We made profitable slaves, not like nigger slaves, which essentially would just cause a whole bunch of trouble. No, folks, if America loses white people, America is done for. And folks, these people are not going to go ahead and stop this. They're not going to go ahead and let us leave. They're not going to go ahead and let us form our own communities. But even within our own communities, you have, in our own households, you have people who are getting a government check. How are they going to go ahead, essentially, and, hey, I believe secession, but, what happened to my Social Security check? Answer, it's going to be gone. You can't go ahead and have taxes and yet give out benefits at the same time. Are you going to go ahead and secede from your benefits while you're seceding from your taxes? Folks, when things go ahead and get to the point of secession, they're going to be to where, essentially, you're going to have people in different camps, and they're going to be in your own household. Just like I was saying here, to where, essentially, I brought up to my sister, is that, hey, I heard Mike say, my brother Mike say in May 2001, that he was glad the government sent my dad to prison, where he died. Well, he died 20 days after he got out of prison. But as far as I was concerned, the government killed him. And he told me in May of 2009 he wished the government had somehow railroaded me so that he could go ahead and do whatever the hell he wanted to do. So how are you going to go ahead and live in peace with even your biological brother essentially when your brother is a traitor to yourself and your, to your father. How are you going to live in peace, with traitors within your own household, who essentially would go ahead and sacrifice you in a minute to Zog Babylon, who essentially loves Zog Babylon, love the way things are arranged? How are you going to go ahead and live in peace with them? And the answer is that when it comes down to it, they're worse than an enemy, because they know far more about you than an enemy does. A traitor within the gates is the worst thing ever. And that is what any revolutionary organization does, is it exterminates the traitors, the liars, the thieves, the Zogbots among us here. That's why, people don't trust Alex Wonder, because of traitor Glenn Miller. And essentially, Wonder knows that when it comes down to it, he can't trust actual white people. Actual white people really don't have anything that they want to go ahead and get along with Alex Wonder. So, pretty well, you can think whatever you want, but in reality, reality is different than, the things that you go in and scribble. Now, Greg Johnson was making some pretty good caveats. But folks, I don't think anybody, not even me, realizes, although I have a pretty good idea, I think, about what lays ahead. And essentially what lays ahead is civil war. A racial civil war, a religious civil war, a class civil war. A civil war such as never was before and never shall be again, a great tribulation. And what I believe as a dual seed line Christian identity believer is that pretty well getting it to where you don't have to do all the killing. You'll have to do some. But you won't have to go ahead and do all the culling, you won't have to do all the gelding, all the skinning, all the other things that needs to be done if our race is to survive. These Jews have as their primary motivation, their number one motivation ever since Adam was around and Satan rebelled because he did not want to be replaced by a creature lower than the angels, which were mortal and had to go ahead and live on this earth in order to prove their loyalty. He didn't want to be replaced in Yahweh's affections and in Yahweh's rewards by such a creature. And so he had spawn. He went in and seduced Eve, and he had seed by this, Adam's wife, Eve. And then later on, you had, during before Noah's day, you had even within the line of Adam, you had these people coming in. Demons and the rest going ahead and destroying the very first Zog Babylon, the one that existed in the Tarim Basin here, not under Cain Sargon, but under Noah. And so, folks, we've gone ahead essentially in four sermons, pretty well covered the basics of dual seed line Christian identity. And man and beast, we went ahead and pointed out there were two distinct bloodlines, that the pre-Adamites were the beast people. Even if they were white, they didn't have a covenant with Yahweh, but they could be bred into that. Egypt existed before the flood and after the flood, obviously, but before the flood. And that you had you had these, you had these 6-day, people here, and some of them were white. And later on, we were talking last night. I'm not sure if some of you were here last night or Tuesday night, where we talked about the blackheads, these brunette people who were white, who Cain, Sargon, ruled over for a while here, and essentially, like Compre says, they were smart enough to know they ought to do it, but they didn't really have the organization to do it. And Cain Sargon was the son of the gardener. He went ahead and he set up well, the very first Zog Babylon. He set up essentially a government which was satanic in origin, but did go ahead and do certain things that needed to be done, like organized public works projects to go ahead and work on irrigation ditches, to work on levees, to work on reservoirs. And King Sargon did indeed do some good. The people said, well, hey, this is Sargon the Great. He goes ahead and gives us great government. He went ahead and gives us work over the winter. He goes ahead and creates better crops through irrigation and, you know, prevents flooding in the spring through levees and prevents drought in the bad years by digging these dams. And folks, there were probably a bunch of people, these pre-Adamites, these white people, these blackheads, who thought, well, hey, Cain is the best thing since sliced bread. They liked their little Jew. They liked their big Jew. And later on, you go ahead and Compere says that Cain or Sargon was Quetzalcoatl. And folks, these Indians, these pre-Mayans, they thought he was a, you know, these Toltecs, whatever, they thought he was a great man. He was, you know, he was a great god who would come back, who would return. And instead, they got Cortez. And Cortez, mounted on horses, went ahead and destroyed the Aztec Empire. But they were expecting Cain Sargon to come back like he said he would thousands of years previously. So folks, let's understand is that we're living essentially in Zog Babylon, the third and the final. And when there, you know, comes a collapse here, you know, let's not be the ones who pretty well get our bloodshed unnecessarily by overtly, if we're not cornered, if we're not caught, going ahead and getting in trouble for Whiggers. Rather, what we should do is we should understand the times that we live in, that the Bible does not say there's going to be a successful rebellion against Zog Babylon, but rather, the Zog Babylon will fall apart. And therefore, this is why, among all the white nationalist or Bow Movement people, I don't believe in building anything. There's nothing you can build that Zog will not take away. There is no treasure you can accumulate on this earth that Zog will not take away from you if they want it. Rather, what I recommend is that you enjoy the life you have now. You go ahead and get close to Yahweh. You go ahead and pray to Yahweh that He save you and He save your family and your friends who you want to have saved, who you can go ahead and trust. And then you go ahead and you make quiet preparations. You don't go ahead and tell about how many guns you got or how many bags of corn or what have you. You quietly make preparations to have enough to live on for a while. Quietly. Quietly. And that's what you do. You go ahead and perhaps get you a wood stove, or at least a place which will go ahead and heat wood pellets or wood, you know, cut wood. And if need be, you can go ahead and cook your food or bake it in a Dutch oven. You quietly, go ahead and prepare good food, made from scratch. If you have children, you do your best to go ahead and homeschool them. You take them out of Babylon. You take yourself and your family out of Babylon. You get close to Yahweh and take yourself out of Babylon. And then when the time comes, there will be chaos, there will be anarchy, there will be killing and death. When the time comes here, you be ready for it. And sometimes you will have to do harsh things here. But folks, not now. And certainly not telling everybody else about it. That's what you do in order to save your life. So, folks, as far as the secessionism is concerned, I guess it's nice that Hunter Wallace has an argument with essentially his antithesis, a Jew boy named Alex Lender, who's an atheist. I mean, say, you know, or Hunter Wallace here as a Whigger who is beginning to learn and to grow up, you've got to go ahead and make your mistakes against something that really not matter here in a so-called debate with a Roy Rage retard and a Jew boy with Jew Ascades. Heck, it doesn't hurt to go ahead and have an argument with such at all. At all. So, in any case here, tomorrow night I'll go ahead and be on the Logan Hunter Show, and then Sunday we'll go ahead and have our regular movement turd. Maybe one of these days I can go ahead and get Hunter Wallace to go ahead and call back in. So, folks, I'm going to go ahead and call it a night. I'm going to go ahead and say Hail Victory. May Yahweh bless. Good night. White men clad in black are we, hi-yi-oh-ho, and we'll stamp out dog tyranny, hi-yi-oh-ho. White men go, we vote ho, our mystery roots let the red cock grow. White men go, civil war ho, on the corn has long let red blood flow. When Adam delved and Eve defend, Kyrie-lei-i, all who was then the ruling man, Kyrie-lei-i. White men go, revolt ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. For white men their rifles shoot, the Jews are laid low. On Zogling neck, we stomp our boots to stamp out Castro. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock grow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. The regime must only love its greed, hi-yi-oh-ho. The love of God our only need, hi-yi-oh-ho. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. We'll conquer for our cause's right, hi-yi-oh-ho. Our sons won't have to go and fight, hi-yi-oh-ho. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow.